about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Looks great. Tasty.
Shouldn't we give thanks first?
Thanks for what?
Well, that we're not Native Americans who got their land stolen in exchange for smallpox-infested blankets.
Amen.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
It ain't cool being no jive turkey so close to Thanksgiving.
This is Les Nessman, your man on the scene here at the Pinedale Shopping Center, where the excitement is mounting. We're here to witness the big WKRP turkey Thanksgiving giveaway.
Hey, you got permission to be out here?
What?
You're blocking my store here, buddy.
Don't you know who I am? I'm Les Nessman. I won the Buckeye News Fuck Award last year.
And now,
it's a bright and shiny day. It's a bright and shiny day.
Our feature presentation.
Technically, it's not bright and shiny.
No, it's dark.
Not even a
little.
It's
dark, yes. Maren Dungey.
Yes.
Hi.
Yay!
Very excited. How are you?
I'm really good. How are you?
Maren is filling in for Allie today.
You know the way, like, baseball players wear the number of a player who, like, passed away all season?
Uh-huh.
I feel she's doing that. She brought her own Allie McKay water jug.
Yeah.
I did.
With the inspirational sayings on it?
Oh, sure.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You got it.
In her
yep.
honor.
Yep, yep, yep.
In her wake.
Yeah. Okay, but wait. Did you have that already?
Well, there,
did you both talk about it? Soon?
They actually called me to talk about the fact that we both had it. Like, I've called in. There's been a discussion about my trash can of water.
Yeah. It's a giant tub of water.
It's a bucket.
It's leaking also over here.
There's great.
There's some condensation happening. So.
Oh, condensation's all right.
Okay.
Listen, I've spilled everything.
It.
Yeah, there's a lot of spilling going on here. Today, by the way.
Oh, my God, it's raining!
I mean, not technically a lot right now.
Not yet.
It's
really.
a little bit of rain. Did you guys see the freeways last night? Some of the video.
It's so gross.
It's crazy.
I almost think they use the same video every
year. I do, too.
Because I'm like, there's no way it's happening again.
And they have to, like, double it up because there's no way there's even that many cars can fit.
Do people not know to leave earlier?
I think people leaving yesterday is earlier.
They thought.
Like, last night. Because it's Tuesday, right, instead of Wednesday. But, wow.
Yikes.
And now it's, like, snowing in the Grapevine and stuff, and they might be closing that down at some point.
Are you serious?
Yes. So that's... That's not good.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Just don't travel.
Are you going anywhere?
No, to Encino. That's
Encino?
Yeah.
All right.
On the day.
All
so
right.
I think I'll be okay.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Jensen?
No, we do Orange County, which is a bit of a drive from the valley.
Yeah, but are you doing it on the day?
We are doing it on the day.
Because then it will be wide open.
Yeah, I think on the day is fine.
Yeah.
As long as you're not doing it today.
Or the day before, yeah.
Or yesterday.
Yeah. Or the day after.
Or
or right now. I feel like Black Friday, I get more scared of the freeways than anything.
Really?
A little bit. People are out and about, man. It's their day off. They, like, go and travel around.
Oh, I don't know.
Guess that's a regular, normal thing. They're just out running errands and going to stores and shopping and doing stuff.
They got things to pick up. They have people to trample.
Right.
It's like... It's Wednesday and Sunday that are the bad travel days.
Monday, by the way. They've added Monday, too,
yes.
Because Sunday's so busy, people started going, all right, listen, we'll come back on Monday.
Oy.
And then it's still kind of a nightmare. So I'm happy to not be traveling either.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Makes me very happy.
Happy to be here.
Happy to have you here.
Maren, for a whole week, has been, from what it looks like on Instagram, practicing waking up this early.
Just the day before. Because I can't just suddenly get up at 3:30.
You know? By the way... physiologically, is that right?
Sure, that'll work.
That's a word.
You can.
I mean, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It is possible,
right.
But I wanted to sort of be able to go to sleep early, like just get used to this, you know, like that. So by 8 o'clock last night, I was ready to go to bed, which is perfect.
Great.
So
were
I
you able
feel...
to sleep?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
What a miracle.
That's
great.
You know, Kevin's not, he's been doing it 30 years and still can't do that.
What?
I just can't. I don't know. I can't fall asleep then. And I try to take a nap every day, though. So that's the difference that
I have.
Is because I'm actually done, you know, by 10:01. Mm-hmm. And then I can go home and take a nap.
Right.
So Woo-hoo! That works. But I don't think I've ever in my life did a dry run through of getting up early.
I'm a nerd.
That's
I'm
amazing.
Not even, I'm a nerd.
You're
I'm
a massive hard, nerd.
Yes, I am.
I love that.
Yes, yeah. I was so excited that I wanted to not screw it up. I was like, please don't screw this up for Allie.
I get it, man. When I took the gig, I really did. And Kevin knows this. I did a dry run of waking up that early before taking the job.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you have to. Because
I was like, what if I hate it?
Right. Right. And then you'd be like, this was awful.
Awful.
It's the fact that I didn't actually drive down in the morning to just like get, you know, thank God for Waze.
Yes.
If not, I would have done that.
Oh, really? You would have done
you guys,
drive the whole way here?
I am Don Dungy's daughter. It is all about preparedness.
Okay.
You got to be ready.
You would have done the drive.
I would have done the drive if I did not have Waze.
Did you lay out your clothes on the floor like first day of school?
I didn't, but they were ready.
All right,
I knew what I was wearing.
You knew what you were wearing.
I knew what I was wearing.
You knew which water bottle you were bringing.
I knew the water bottle. I made the cupcakes. I mean, I was prepped.
She brought, I mean, we should have had her every day. She brought desserts.
What?
Look at this.
Pumpkin spice.
How did
cupcakes
I
with
walked
a brown,
right over and said hi to you.
You did. Because Kevin, you're Kevin, and that's you're the night rocker. Like you just missed it. It happens.
This is what she does. She heard I spent $68 on a cake and said I could do better.
No,
it's
not that I could do better. Mm-hmm. I just was like, here's an alternative.
Yes. Oh no, by the way, everyone could do better. Jensen admitted it. Jensen's like, I don't know why I bought it.
It was a bad mistake.
I'm gonna just say there's a brown butter cream cheese frosting on this that is bananas.
Did you make these?
I did.
She did. Sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is great.
Bye, Allie.
Do you want to work for Allie?
Yeah.
Sorry, Allie.
Allie's never brought us cupcakes.
Right, exactly. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
Now, the chicken nuggets with that barbecue sauce.
Right.
I don't know about you, but I know about me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's the Thanksgiving meal? That's
he
the
knows.
Go-to?
I would be psyched.
He knows.
Yeah?
Honestly.
Same. Richard Blade's going to be here today.
Oh,
my God.
Man.
How about that? I'm sorry, Maren.
Oh, my God. I can't. I mean, I'm so excited. I can't.
The sweetest guy in the world.
That's so good to know.
Sweetest person in the world.
Yeah. I've listened to him every day for 30 years.
Yeah.
For 30 years.
Yeah.
His voice it means a lot to people who grew up in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I mean, it's he was one of the people that helped build K-Rock.
Yeah. Brings you back.
It's an amazing dude. RJ Bell's going to give us a preview of the NFL Week 13.
Mm-hmm.
We have a new feature called Should I Have Said Something?
I like that. Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Papa John apparently is giving quite the interviews these days.
Yeah, he's sweating.
Yeah. He is.
It's one of the top things I took out of it.
Did he
shiny.
Sweats a lot?
He sweats a lot. I pulled clips, though. I'm excited to play them.
All right. People are dumb on the program today, and my favorite grandma ever. I call her the dope grandma. She's my next future ex-wife, I think. How old is she, 92?
I have stayed away
82.
From this.
She's 82. Oh, she's rough.
I told Jensen, don't watch it.
Stayed away.
Because you haven't seen it?
This will be my first my first exposure.
Oh.
She's a miracle, and I love her.
Yes. Well, I'm ready.
All right, we will take a quick break. We'll come back with what's happening next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53. Allie McKay is out this week, and Maren Dungy.
Mm. Yay!
Hey, guys.
Our friend is here to fill in.
Thank you.
Of course.
So excited to be here.
We just found out that you're shooting Picard. Did we know that?
I didn't know it. Also, I don't know if she said we could say it.
It's on my IMDb, so I believe it's allowed. And we brought it up because Allison Pill, who's mm-hmm. also in Picard,
mm-hmm.
it's her birthday today.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
So, anyway, should we get to the what's happening?
Sure. What's happening?
Is there any other shows that you've been on that maybe we could spoil? Like, just in case Kevin doesn't know. Like, just bring it up, whatever, off air.
Bring it up.
Something you know you're not supposed to speak about?
As long as it's on my IMDb, I believe it's legally allowed. I have said nothing, and I said nothing about what I'm doing on Picard.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Coming in January.
Oh, yes. Good.
So, Deadpool director Tim Miller is out. He is exiting the franchise due to friction with Ryan Reynolds.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah. Now, Deadpool scored the highest R-rated opening in history.
Mm-hmm.
Was not even shattered by the Joker. But now, since he had a lukewarm box office performance with Terminator Dark Fate, he is stepping away. It became clear that Ryan wanted to be in control of the franchise, says Tim, and you can work that way as a director quite successfully, but I cannot.
Whoa, I mean, that's not a friendly statement.
No, that doesn't. No. It sounds like it's an unfriendly statement that's supposed to sound friendly.
This isn't friendly when he says, but if I can't win, I don't want to play.
Oh.
Yeah.
Normally, you get those more watered down Hollywood responses.
Yeah.
That's a little more fighting words.
That is.
Wow, that's too bad.
For sure. So, there you go. I don't know what's going to happen, and we'll find out who's going to take over, but
Ryan Reynolds
out.
Is going to take over.
I guess Ryan Reynolds. You know, honestly, that'd be kind of exciting. I would love to see that. Also, Radio Hall of Fame story. John Tesh returned his trophy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was not happy.
He was not happy because his wife, Connie Sellecca, was cut off giving his introduction on a non-televised show.
Look.
Kevin was there.
Well, no. Kevin is apparently that he was... John Tesh was honored with Sean Hollywood Hamilton, mm-hmm. Harry Harrison, Dr. Ruth Westheimer, Ryan Seacrest, and others.
Oh, no.
Others.
No. You're in others?
Over. He's in there in the other.
That's no. the best thing I've ever heard.
Hollywood got a mention before
yes.
you.
Yes.
Harsh.
And others, that's so great.
30 years, not enough.
Did no. Jim yes. Rome also an other?
Yes,
yeah.
apparently.
Yeah. And Rome.
Wow.
That's because he's friends with us. See?
Yeah.
We take everybody down. I got to tell you, it was really funny to see they had these standing portraits of everybody in the little lobby.
Yeah.
And it was tuxedo, suit. Me with my Ruka shirt, Bean with his Kiss Army shirt, and then tuxedo.
Oh,
that was pretty much everybody.
That's how
else.
Others dress.
But let me. That's how everyone dresses, is what you mean? But let me just say this. They gave us a clock at the beginning,
yeah.
and they said, if you go over this amount of time, you'll hear the music, and then if you go over that amount of time, we will cut your mic off and go to the video, the interview.
Right.
And honestly, it had happened before. And people had gone over, and they got cut off, and it went to the video, and it was awkward, but it happened, and...
Peace out, man.
Yeah, so it's odd to me that he took that much offense, considering he saw that clock was for everyone, and that they were living by it.
But like, he's John Tesh. I'm not sure if you're... And Connie mm-hmm. Sellecca of Hotel, guys.
Yeah.
And
then, here's the thing that most people don't know is... He got up and gave his acceptance speech, which I'm guessing is not going to be online.
I doubt it.
And he was like, "If you do not disrespect my wife that way, you do not do
in
that.
His speech
to yeah. the Hall of Fame." Yes.
Whoa.
Yes, he was saying, Hall of Fame, you do not disrespect your life.
And we think he left it on the stage as well.
I think so.
So he didn't even... So he gave an acceptance speech and then just left the statue?
That's what we believe.
I think
what?
So.
Yeah.
It's either that or we heard another thing, which is that he left it there and then another one that he sent it back. Either way, he didn't keep it.
No.
But the thing that no one heard that I could hear because I was close is as he was walking off the stage, Connie was walking. She caught up with him and she's like, it's okay. It's really okay.
Oh.
Like she was like trying to be real, but he was just not having it.
I mean, I respect the love there.
I do too.
Oh man.
But also everybody else is playing by the same rules.
Yeah.
So I mean, like you're not.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, I can understand. It was a rude ending to her introduction.
Sure.
But so was it for three other people that had the exact same thing happen.
Yeah.
So,
well,
good times.
He gave it back, guys.
Yep.
Well, so. Still the guy who made Round Ball Rock, so a hero in my eyes.
It's very true.
He could be as weird as possible.
I'm just glad that you guys are still in.
Mm-hmm. So far.
I'm glad that you got in. Yeah, and they haven't called for it back.
So far.
Yeah, mm-hmm. at this time.
We'll see.
Well, we're going to do some celebrity birthdays.
Sure.
We've got Michael Vartan, my old co-star
there
from
you go.
Alias. Happy yes. birthday, Michael.
I think that's when I first saw you as Alias.
Yes, but that was when I was not allowed to come here because of lightning. Remember? I wasn't invited.
Because of lightning?
Oh,
you
yeah.
have to remind me later.
Yeah.
That was he was passing on the pitches is what you're saying. Like
no,
you would be
No, I was not enough to get in. Everybody else could come in for some reason, mm-hmm. but my publicist could not. Lightning wouldn't have it.
Hmm.
Wow.
We discussed this on air
I know,
2 years ago. Yeah.
Listen.
I know.
That's because you're not a truck. If you were a truck, we would have
especially
interviewed
you. Especially a raised truck, yeah. You'd have been right in.
I would have been right
in. You had
there.
A very strong motor.
Indeed.
Oh, this is so awesome because I just had dinner with him on the Saturday night. I'm going to text him and let him know.
Yeah, please.
Mm-hmm. Good talk.
We've got Jaleel White, who played Steve Urkel on Family Matters.
I don't have to take this. I'm going home.
Manolo Blahnik, Bill Nye the Science Guy, Charlotte Copley, and as I said, Allison Pill. From
yes,
Picard.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Happy birthday, you guys. I'm Maren Dungey filling in for Ally McKay, and that's what's happening.
When we all fall asleep, where do we go?
Can't talk when the song's ending because then you can hear.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no worries.
I'm new here. It's day one.
Maren Dungey is here filling in for Ally McKay. Very happy to have you.
So stoked.
Thanks so much. Hey.
Coming up a little bit later on this morning's show, we have the dope grandma. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to tell you about that. Jensen will not let me watch the Papa John interview.
No, I made you stay away. There are too many highlights.
It's going to be so good. And Richard Blade a little bit later on this morning.
Oh, my
right
God.
Now, though, it's time for People Are Dumb.
Dumb.
The first story comes out of Arizona. Arizona felon is back behind bars following his arrest last Saturday night on a grand theft burrito charge.
Okay. All right.
That has to be joke writing, right? That's not a thing.
It wouldn't seem real.
According to investigators, Timothy Bell, 29, approached a man on a Phoenix street who was eating a burrito and just reached out and took it from him.
Was the burrito made of gold?
It doesn't say whether the burrito was made of gold.
Aren't all burritos made of gold?
I mean, a little bit.
But then the next sentence is the stolen property. A felony complaint was, quote, a burrito of a value less than $1,000. So I think they're trying to be funny by calling it a burrito. Anything less than $1,000 maybe is the same charge.
Of a burrito?
I don't understand. No, I'm just saying, it says charge. It's a felony complaint.
Right.
It was a, quote, burrito of a value less than $1,000.
Yeah, well, because they have.
Is there a burrito more than $100?
Right.
I mean, what is the burrito
more
made
of? More than $10
even. Again, a burrito made of gold.
Well, she might be onto something now.
Yeah.
He was booked into Maricopa County Jail on felony robbery charge.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it probably is? Probably he had a couple of charges before.
Sure. And
like
now,
a quesadilla, an enchilada.
Exactly.
Right, nachos.
A taco. DUI suspect 20 offered cops a brilliant explanation for why he reeked of alcohol. This guy drove his car into a ditch. He's an Illinois man. He reeked of booze and explained to police the reason he smelled like alcohol is because he'd been making out with his girlfriend.
Right.
She had been drinking all night.
Sure. Right. Oh, that's
how
it is.
That makes sense.
So that's what happened.
So they let him go. That makes sense.
I mean, they didn't really let him go. They actually gave him a test by the side of the road, and he failed it miserably.
Haters.
Well, he was making out. I mean, that's...
Right. And then he repeated. He told deputies the reason he smelled like alcohol was that he had been making out with his girlfriend this evening, and she'd been drinking. He added, for some unknown reason, that he made love to his girlfriend because we make love because we're adults now.
Hmm. Oh, this makes so much sense.
Why?
People are dumb.
Why? Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
People are dumb.
People are dumb. That's right.
Dumb.
Man accused of attacking brother for not supporting him for entering America's Got Talent.
Okay. All right.
25-year-old Gregory Rary started to tell his brother and his family that he was going to enter America's Got Talent, but he needed some help with the money. Help me pay for it.
Mm-hmm. How much does it cost?
I don't know.
I'm wondering.
I don't know.
Seems like a racket.
And maybe it was an out-of-town thing.
Okay. Oh, yeah. They got to travel.
Right. Maybe.
That makes sense.
Family said, no, we're not going to help you with that. Mm-hmm. And mom and dad left, and then the kid left, and then the kid came back and found his brother and told his brother that he was really upset that he wasn't going to sponsor him to be on America's Got Talent. And they got into a fight, and he punched his brother twice in the face.
Yes.
Because his brother would not support him for America's Got Talent.
Well, that takes some talent.
That is, yeah. To punch your brother in the face?
Does it?
Nick Cannon, you're moving on.
I don't think that's...
He should sell that burrito made of gold. I think he'd have the money.
Albert Hedgen is a Dutch supermarket, and apparently this is a weird thing. They were trying to figure out a way to make new uniforms for their thousands of employees.
Right.
So the way they did this was they called the staff at a branch and they said, here's what we want you to do. We want you to wear underwear or tight-fitting clothing, and we want you to take photos.
Me like it.
And send them to us. And maybe have a friend help you to get good angles. They told their employees this.
This doesn't seem like it's about the uniforms.
That's my point. But they are standing by that. They're like, oh, we have 100,000 different people in the company. We could send out all the emails. But this way, let's do it with an app.
Mm-hmm.
And then we could accurately measure all of your uniforms. So it's a much more streamlined way of doing things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So send us your half-nude selfies.
Yes.
And then we can tailor
clothing,
it.
And then we can give you a perfect uniform.
Not a bad plan.
Just coming right from HR? Or?
In his defense, he said it's an innovative mobile app.
Uh-huh.
And no one was... It's not mandatory.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So if you want to take a photo of yourself with little clothes, you can. And it would help us give you a uniform, but if not...
Oh.
It's all good.
Well, that works.
And then it turns out he got... trouble for that.
Trouble, right.
Yeah.
Well, then I don't know who I sent my photos to. I'm bummed.
You have a whole bunch, right? Yeah.
The internet is where you sent your photos to. And finally, I love the stories where somebody makes mistakes or looks stupid, and then the news starts making fun of them.
Uh-huh.
And in this particular case, the news is taking around an iPhone with video of this guy who robbed a bank and then fell three times in a row trying to get away.
Okay.
And you can see the video of him. He's like runs through a brush and just face first. And
that's
he pops
it.
Right back up, face first again, and then a third fall. And got away.
Okay.
Here's the news report.
That's one, two,
three times. You got to be out of your mind.
That's the man the Caddo Sheriff's Office says robbed the Westla Federal Credit Union in South Shreveport yesterday. He walked in armed with a handgun and demanded cash. This is him attempting to run, but tripping.
He got away.
He was a lucky man.
Now they're getting just third-person people that were not involved.
Sure.
Hey, look at this video. Isn't this crazy? And then they're, like, rating how dumb he is.
Okay.
Because all you got to do is fall once. At least that's the way it is in the movies.
All right, I like that. Look, I've seen movies where
this is also kind of the news is dumb.
Oh, agreed.
Yeah.
Oh, agreed. Yeah, they're having a good time with it.
But it's reality. And now the sheriff's office is combing through surveillance video to track him.
How did he get away?
I don't know. How big were his shoes?
He fell three times.
Is he wearing clown shoes?
Yeah.
And his getaway driver down.
We believe that he was dropped off by somebody that was driving the Dodge Caliber vehicle. Kind of fumbled his way to the front door, went in, grabbed the money. He was only in there for a very short period of time.
All investigators know about the robber is he's 5'8 to 6 feet tall. At the time of the robbery, he was wearing a black hoodie, black pants, black shoes, and neon yellow gloves.
An odd choice for gloves?
Was he a wide receiver? Crazy.
While on the run, he dropped this mask and some of the cash.
So he dropped his hoodie, his mask, and a bunch of the cash that he stole. He dropped.
That was a dumb idea.
Oh, but man, what the hell was he trying to do?
I have no idea. A spokesperson for the sheriff's office says the same man targeted Gippsland Bank an hour before.
I feel like you shouldn't rob banks if you can't even walk straight.
See, this is what I love. Like, now they're just getting, guy on the street. What do you think of this guy?
No, black eyewitnesses are what the hell? They're the best. The best.
Investigators are now following up on tips. They are thankful no one was hurt.
That is pretty funny.
And viewers hope the man and driver are caught, but enjoyed watching the clumsy criminal.
Show a little more.
Yes, that's a good laugh. I have to show my husband when he gets home.
Yeah, we're just getting people's reactions to viral videos.
Hey, how funny is this? Look at this guy.
Check out this guy. This baby tries wasabi.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Maren Dungey is here with us. Mm-hmm. Filling in for Ellie McKay. Very happy about that. We have a four-pack of tickets to give away right now. If you would like to go to the LA Kings Holiday Ice. Sorry about that. The LA Kings Holiday Ice presented by Coca-Cola at LA Live. Plus, a four-pack of tickets to the LA Kings game on January 6th. The LA Kings Holiday Ice Rink opens this weekend in downtown Los Angeles at LA Live. If you want to be caller 20 right now, 1-800-520-1067. You will get those tickets. Also wanted to mention that the Kings Care Foundation and our charity Friends and Helpers are doing a holiday food drive.
Great.
So there's going to be a bunch of Friends and Helpers tents around the Staples Center tonight. And if you would bring any non-perishable item or gift card, you can drop that off and you can qualify to win some Kings gear and some acoustic Christmas tickets as well.
Very cool.
So wow, that's amazing.
Before the game tonight.
Call now.
7:30. Yeah, 1-800-520-1067. Allie McKay is out. Maren Dungey is here.
I'm in. Mm-hmm. What's happening, everybody? this is something I'm really excited about. Jennifer Lopez is doing a new show called Thanks a Million on Quibi, which is a pay it forward style reality show. So it's an emotional, inspiring series featuring celebrities to pay it forward, which will feature Lopez, Aaron Rodgers, Tracy Morgan, Alex Rodriguez, Carly Kloss, and Kristen Bell. So each episode follows a star kickstarting a chain of kindness when they gift $100,000 to an unsuspecting individual who has made a positive impact on their life. The recipient then is tasked to pay it forward and gift half the sum to someone else who's done the same, continuing the chain. Over 10 episodes, $1 million will make it into the hands of everyday people.
I love that.
Does it get down to just $1?
I don't know. I don't know how small it gets.
All right, I have a dollar for you.
And I'm going to give you the 50 cents. Yeah. And then we were talking about the taxes, and it's like, do you get taxed on that $100,000 when you give it to your teacher? I think they'll figure that out.
How do you feel about Quibi as somebody who works in television and movies?
You know, there's so many platforms. It's all good. Like, as long, you know.
I think so, too. I like this idea.
Kevin and I are in the minority from the show. We believe Quibi will rule the world.
Yes.
You really think so?
Yes.
I'm committed to it.
Just because it's such a short amount of time for people to have to pay attention.
It feels like when Netflix decided to go streaming, and everyone was like, what? I need the CDs. I need the DVDs.
Oh, right, right, right.
And everyone was like, this is a dumb company move. I feel similar. I feel similar in a sense. 6 minutes, you're like, what? And then on my phone, all those things feel like culture changing, and their programming is nuts. Today, they also announced an Andy Samberg-hosted show.
Oh, my God.
So it's like they have everyone cool, and, I mean, we can make fun of it as much as we want, but catch me watching things for 6 minutes on my phone soon.
I'll watch it paid forward on there. That sounds great.
I know. That sounds amazing.
Anything that sort of causes people to be generous and good.
Yeah, good news. We need a lot of good news. Yes. Speaking of good news, there was a man, because somebody put a bunch of Hitler items.
Oh.
Yes.
Cool.
Up for auction. However, a Lebanese businessman bought everything.
Okay.
For 600,000 euro on 10 items during the auction to keep it out of the hands of the neo-Nazis.
Oh.
Oh, he wasn't buying it for racist reasons. No. He was doing it to keep it away from racist people. Wow.
Yes.
Taking it off the market.
Wow.
Yes, to keep anti-Semitism spreading all over Europe and the world, which I think is phenomenal.
That's a lot of money to spend to do that. Good on him.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then Rabbi Menachem Margolin, head of the EGA, said he was bowled over by the gesture. In a cynical world, such a noble act of kindness, generosity, and solidarity. So let's hear all the good news.
Yeah, agreed.
I've got a little more good news.
Please.
Perennium sunning is the latest insanity from wellness influencers.
Hello.
I'm sorry?
So you need to sun your butthole. Get some vitamin D on your vajayjay, everybody.
Do you know how many times we're going to play that sentence in the next year?
I can't wait. I'm so excited.
So perennium is the neither nor.
It's the neither nor.
Right.
And in a mere 30 seconds of sunlight on your butthole, you will receive more energy from this electric node than you would in an entire day of being outside with your clothes on, says an influencer goes by Raw of Earth.
How do you accomplish that?
You need to nude up.
Yeah, of course.
And get outside.
And then you need to change my baby's diaper, basically. You need to get on the back and just sort of roll it up.
Yeah, one Californian claims butt-chugging vitamin D not only helps her sleep better, but helps regulate her hormones. And apparently my old co-star, Shailene Woodley from Big Little Lies, is known for her holistic lifestyle, that she practices a version of this.
Yeah, she says that's very important for her and her health.
Yeah, but she also lives out of a luggage piece. Like, she's an insane person, so please.
She does enjoy,
minimalism, right?
Yes, for sure.
This is a really sad story for a bunch of people, because one person in particular, my cousin Tim, it's super sad. He can't he do this. He can't. It's
he doesn't have a perennium?
Well, sort of.
My cousin Tim doesn't have a butthole, and he can't eat fiber. My cousin Tim doesn't have a butthole.
What's he supposed to do?
He can't eat fiber. My cousin Tim doesn't have a butthole, and he can't eat fiber. Well, it's the atomic weight of mercury.
Wait a minute. What do you mean what's happening?
My cousin Tim.
It's pretty clear. That guy's cousin Tim doesn't have
a butthole.
Right.
He can't eat fiber.
Right. Yeah.
But he could still get some sunshine.
Maybe not.
On the neither nor, there's nothing.
I don't know.
On the neither nor nothing?
Isn't the butthole the
butthole's key important.
I guess I guess that's where the sun's going
right.
in.
Right.
Yeah, the butthole's the lead character.
So Tim's screwed.
Yeah, poor Tim.
The rest of us were all good.
He didn't need anything more on his plate.
I would like over Thanksgiving holiday, I would like us all to try this, and then we can report back on Monday.
That sounds great.
Okay. Good.
Everybody. All right. So let's lead us out with some birthdays. Michael Vartan, my old co-star from Alias. We have Jaleel White, who used to play Urkel on Family Matters.
Mm-hmm.
Manolo Blahnik, who makes the best shoes. Mm-hmm. Bill Nye, the Science Guy. Charlton Copley from District 9 and the A-Team. Mm-hmm. And another one of my co-stars, Allison Pill, who's coming out in Picard. Happy birthday, everybody. I'm Maren Dungy, filling in for Alan McKay, and that is What's Happening.
Richard Blade will join us in about an hour. He's written a new book. He's a fiction author.
Yeah.
I can't handle it.
You're excited?
Yeah.
That's Maren Dungy, who is filling in for Allie today. Jensen, I've made you stay away from this story.
Yes, I've avoided it at all costs.
Because 82-year-old Willie Murphy is...
A hero.
And a badass.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And apparently works out all the time at the YMCA.
All right.
And a poor, unfortunate thief broke into the wrong house.
Okay.
and it was her house.
A man who broke into a Rochester home last night turned out to be no match for the 82-year-old grandmother who lives there. And here she is, Willie Murphy, in her own words.
The young man is in my home, broke the door. And you know what? It's kind of semi-dark, and I'm alone, and I'm old.
And now you're like, oh, no, she's scared. She's alone. Yeah. Oh, the poor woman.
But guess what? I'm tough. And you want to know what happens?
She pulls up her sleeve, and she shows, like, she's got muscles.
No, she deadlifts 220.
She's ripped.
Okay.
She's an 82-year-old woman. Okay. So now she starts explaining what happened.
He picked the wrong house to break into. I took that table, and I went to working on him. And guess what? The table broke. Oh.
She broke a table.
Like WWE?
Lifted a table on him. Like, she went with the table, not a chair.
Right.
And not even on, because in WWE, it's normally you take the wrestler and put him through the table.
Oh, no.
She took the table and put it through the wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
Deadlift 220. That's all I'm going to say.
That's nice.
She beats him up with a table.
Uh-huh.
But she's not done.
And it had metal legs, and I'm jugging him.
So now the table is broken.
Hold on, she's jugging him, you guys. I don't know what that is.
Yeah,
I don't want it, though.
It's so violent.
You don't want it to happen.
It's a new name.
She's jugging him.
The motion that she's doing is like almost like digging.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, she's jabbing him with it.
But she's jugging him.
She's jugging him, yeah.
Jugging him, good.
Listen, I don't want that either, whatever it is.
And when he's down, I'm jumping on him.
Now she's jumping up and down on the guy she beat up with a table and jugged him with a leg.
Right.
This is the kind of grandma I want
Same.
To be.
Same.
Yes.
Wait, me. Wait, no. Same kind of grandma I want.
Right.
I guess is what I should say.
Yeah. And the telephone is still on for 911. I'm running in the kitchen. There's a bottle of baby shampoo on the table.
All right, so she's on the phone with 911.
Baby shampoo is what I want to
know. That was a good question. Yeah. I asked myself.
This is like extreme rules. Anything's a weapon.
Yes.
Okay.
But she is so clever that she's got it. The phone's going. Yep. She's the table. She's jugging him.
Mm-hmm. She talked to 911 and then left the phone down so they could trace it.
Yeah, right. Brilliant. She's good.
Yes.
I want a TV show on this woman.
Same. Yeah. So then she goes back in. She finds baby shampoo. Uh-huh. I don't know why that's there necessarily, but.
I grabbed the shampoo and guess what? He's still on the ground in his face, all of it, the whole thing. And he's trying to get up, and he's pulling. And I got the broom.
Okay, now.
Okay, Wait, hold on. I have a question.
Yeah. Hold up.
Baby shampoo.
Yes.
So you're telling me that she kind of maced him with it?
Yes.
Baby shampoo doesn't hurt your eyes.
Well,
that's the whole thing about baby shampoo.
If she dumped the whole thing in your face,
it's more of a waterboarding situation.
Listen. Okay, fine.
But this is after she was jugging him. You don't understand.
Oh, right. Jug does break. Yeah. Break
table
rules.
First, then jug.
The table, the
then
jugging,
jump,
then the jumping, and then the baby shampoo.
Changes everything.
You're out.
Yeah, changes everything.
And now she starts talking about a broom, which none of us had even heard about yet.
Well,
he's trying to pull on the broom,
and he's pulling the broom, and I'm hitting him. I'm hitting him with the broom, hitting him, and guess what? He wants to get the heck out of there, and I'm trying to help him get out of the house.
Oh.
So she wants to help him leave.
Yeah.
He's a little too big.
But he's too heavy. I can't move him.
Right.
He's dead weight. And at that time, the police arrive on the porch, and the house is already open, so they come in. He's laying down already, because I had really did a number on that man. I'm serious.
This is the greatest.
He's still laying on the floor because of the table and the leg.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
the jugging.
And the jugging.
And the jumping.
The broom, the shampoo.
And the shampoo.
Yeah.
And a broom.
I'm serious. Oh. And you want to know something? I think he was happy when he went in the ambulance because I sent him in the ambulance. Yes, I did. Yeah.
That's her telling the story to everybody at the YMCA.
She sent him an ambulance.
She's an ambulance. She's one of the new Expendables to me.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I want this.
She should be John Wick.
She's an Avenger.
So proud of the fact that he wanted to get in the ambulance just to get away from her.
Yeah.
This is the murder she wrote woman I want.
That's
this
right.
This is who I want.
She's going to jug it away.
Jensen will not let me watch the interview that he's about to introduce us to.
Yeah.
Maren Dungy is here too, by the way.
I am.
Which we're very excited about. Yes. And I feel like her opinion on this is something I'd like to hear.
Okay.
Would the name, without knowing we're going to be talking about Papa John, would the name John Schnatter make, like, would that ring a bell for either of you?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not a little bit.
John Schneider. right. from the Dukes of Hazzard.
Different.
Very different.
Different Sean.
Mm-hmm. Less relevant.
Part of this story.
Yes. Okay. You would know him by his former title of Papa John.
Yes.
Okay. We remember the weird guy. He's the disgraced founder and former CEO of the pizza franchise. Well, he's returned back into the limelight with an interview he gave to a Kentucky regional TV station.
Yes.
WDRB. Mm. Okay, it's his first word since being outed from the company in late 2017 for saying the N-word during a company meeting.
In a company meeting?
In a company meeting.
Not even like on the phone or
Like an email to one person? What?
This isn't a meeting, and we'll get into it. But
no black people?
I mean, I don't think Papa John hangs with black people. And that was kind of another thing. Is like,
by the way, does it matter?
I know, but well,
are you saying, like, was he reciting
hang?
Ice Cube lyrics? Like, is that...
yeah, like, in what context? Like, are you just addressing a bunch of people and calling, like, and talking about
N-word? That's weird.
Well,
yeah.
He has his theories, which we'll get to. Oh. He appeared in an auditorium in this interview, wearing his signature red button-up shirt. Like, imagine him in your head. You remember
that
shirt? But now it no longer has the Papa John's logo. It's just like a personal logo. It's so sad. That was a bummer. And to say he was sweating would be an understatement.
I did see the photos. I didn't see the interview, but he's shiny.
He was like watered down.
Ooh.
Like the same way like a flower grows. Papa John was just drooling on himself.
Like a fern. Like
it was
somebody
sad.
Misted him.
Yeah, it was depressing. He took no prisoners in a very odd, cryptic-ass interview, man. Let's hear the interviewer first set the stage and address the elephant in the room.
It all started in May of 2018. Schnatter admits he used the N-word during what was supposed to be an internal conference call on diversity training, but says he did it to convey his hatred of racism.
White people, let me just speak.
Please
here.
Lay this out.
Please.
We don't ever use that word. You just You don't get to call somebody my N-word. Like, you just don't get to. You don't get to take it.
Also,
especially. By the way, he's talking about diversity training
You can't say I used a racist word to prove I'm not racist.
Right.
No, you can't use colored people.
No.
Right.
You don't use Negro. Like
It's awful. Awful.
Don't never, ever trust whitey.
That's good advice.
Okay, so John starts off his rants innocent enough, right? Calling out names like he's Tupac and Hit 'Em Up. He's going after a group of his ex-friends who he believes went behind his back in a hostile pizza takeover.
Steve Ritchie, Olivia Curley, the board of directors, all used the black community and race as a way to steal the company. And they stole the company, and now they've destroyed the company.
You know how, when your racist uncle says the word black, you know it means something different than when you say it?
Yes, very much so, yes.
It sounded like when he said black community, it felt worse.
It makes that's when I get the hackles back up on the back.
By the way,
neck.
No one stole anything from him if he's using the N-word.
Here's the thing. The lack of any remorse.
Mm-hmm. He's very angry.
Oh, yeah.
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 There's always blame. Mm-hmm. Not my fault. Didn't mean it. Da-da-da. It's that then you are always in the wrong.
Yeah. He was also a guy I remember right.
He's one step before saying I have a lot of black friends.
Oh.
I mean, he's right there.
Oh,
right.
We get to that point.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that.
He's a guy who, like, right before all this broke, was saying, like, his pizza sales were down because Colin Kaepernick took a knee. Do you remember that?
He was saying the
NFL controversies affected him because he was a major sponsor.
He was the one that John Elway.
No, Manning.
Manning.
Peyton
Eli
Manning.
Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning wins the Super Bowl, and they tell him, John is here. I think he believed it was John Elway. He turned around and then was forced into a weird hug with Papa John. One of my favorite clips. Okay. And with the company hiring all new people since he left, he has some thoughts on the new CEO.
The new CEO is former Arby's president, Rob Lynch.
Rob Lynch, he's never been a CEO. He has no pizza experience. He's never been in the pizza category. He doesn't really have a passion for quality. And probably most important, he doesn't have a passion for people.
He's calling out names. That dude doesn't have a passion for people. He's not in the pizza category.
He does not know pizza.
My new insult to anyone is, brother, you're not in the pizza category. That's like immediately what I'm going to tell people. And with this new regime, John has some thoughts on how the quality of their pizza and the diet of what sounds like an incredibly depressed man.
And after years of touting better ingredients, better pizza, Schneider says it's ultimately the customers were left with a bad taste in their mouths.
I've had over 40 pizzas in the last 30 days, and it's not the same pizza. It's not the same product. It just doesn't taste as good. The way they're making the pizza, the way they're putting the pizza together, is just not fundamentally sound to what makes a Papa John's pizza a Papa John's pizza.
Okay, hold up.
Wait, this explains the shine.
Let me play it again. Ready? Let me play the clip again. Just the beginning. Here.
I've had over 40 pizzas in the last 30 days.
I mean, who does that?
Somebody that's fat and shiny. He is fat and shiny.
Maybe the shine was pizza grease.
Yeah, I think he's showering. It's just coming through his pores.
But do you think that he really thought that he needed to do that extensive of a taste research to figure out that it's not being made right?
Well,
40 pizzas in 30 days?
Imagine a man gets ousted from a company, and then in order to say that their pizzas are bad, he eats 40 of them in 30 days.
No, eat one.
That's like how
do you eat 40 in 30 days?
That's like a villain origin story. You know what I mean? Like, oh, and then he sat and ate 40 pizzas in 30 days.
It's also a vomit origin story.
It sounds disgusting. And also,
terrible to me, if I could just say that.
Please. Imagine being the guy delivering the 40 pizzas to the disgraced Papa John.
Sweating guy opens the door.
You won't believe it. John ordered 30 more. And with this in mind, John does not plan for this to be his final word. Above and beyond what he plans on doing, he also gave money to an all-black college recently, and they definitely showed the clip of him doing that. They wanted you to know that.
Sure.
And he also built a gym for a largely urban high school. Mm-hmm. So these are all things he wanted you to know. But more than that, he wants you to know that he has some future plans to get back at who wronged him.
But make no mistake, John Schnatter plans to share more than just his wealth.
I would just say, stay tuned. The day of reckoning will come. The record will be straight.
Why not set the record straight now? I mean, what is it about the record that's not straight?
Stay tuned.
How soon will that happen?
Stay tuned. Sooner than later.
How creepy can you be?
Wow. Stay tuned. When I talk to my publicist and like my crisis manager, we'll figure it out.
Also, that's maybe that might be like a school shooter.
That's insanity. It does sound super crazy. And the reporter's like, why not just go ahead and set the record straight now? As if that's all John's talking about.
But
can I play that clip again?
Please go ahead.
Yeah.
But make no mistake, John Schnatter plans to share more than just his wealth.
I would just say, stay tuned. The day of reckoning will come. The record will be straight.
Why not set the record straight now? I mean, what is it about the record that's not straight?
Stay tuned.
How soon will that happen?
Stay tuned. Sooner than later.
As soon as I digest these 40 pizzas.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. And it's Thanksgiving, people. Mm-hmm. Let's get into it, shall we?
Hit it.
Already hit
it.
Yep. Yep.
Get it.
Yep. We were told people get mad if we don't explain this song before we play it.
Work it out. Wake up to this.
Yeah. Sick bass.
Look at Muggs. Yeah.
Muggs is moving only his crotch.
It's a bop.
It is a bop. It's already been certified.
By the way, this is the same producer that did Friday with Rebecca Black.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's why it sounds.
That's why it sounds exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. But better.
Mm-hmm. Great. Writing it down.
Yeah, you're right. Okay.
New Year's.
Yes, I knew that. This song is
I like it.
It's so catchy.
It is.
I don't like that I like it.
I know. Yeah. I go home and still sing it.
Say, here comes the food.
Here it is.
Have a good time.
Hey!
Hey!
Yay!
I just want to see who's yelling.
Oh, I'm very excited. I'll do it again.
All right, listen. We have a new feature for mm-hmm. you. And as you know, those always go well.
Yeah.
This feature is called Should I Have Said Something?
Mm-hmm.
Do I just go into the intro, Muggs? Or...
Yeah, let's go into the intro.
All right.
Sometimes when you're out in public and an awkward situation arises that has nothing to do with you, but you feel like intervening anyway, but you're not sure if it's going to make the situation worse, and then you start to second guess yourself if it's a good idea in the first place. That's why we ask the question, should I have said something? 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 Should I have said something?
songs.
All right, so what's going to happen is...
When you hear those songs, you always have to realize he does them in a very small room with Casey, our girl, a finger on the button girl. So she has to put up with it over and over
all the
again.
Time.
You have to do it a 30th time?
Yeah, we only hear it once,
that's
luckily.
A lot of words.
Yeah. All right, so now Beer Mug is going to... explain a situation to us.
Yes.
And then we're going to have to judge should he have said something.
Yeah. So when I get my paycheck, I go to my most favorite restaurant in the whole wide world.
And by restaurant, you mean casino?
Well, that's after the restaurant.
Okay. All right.
And it is that of a little place called Sugarfish. Ooh. I spend my entire paycheck there.
I don't know what that is. Is that sushi?
That's sushi.
Yeah. It's a very good sushi place.
You just eat mac and cheese, right?
Well, I mean, for the most part.
And lasagna. So I swear that Sugarfish puts nicotine in their sushi.
Or it's just great.
But so I spend my entire paycheck there right when I get paid. And I was there a couple weeks ago sitting at the sushi bar like I do because I'm a loner. And sushi bar.
Wait, Valley or Hollywood side?
Hollywood side. And the sushi bar, you don't need a reservation. When you walk into the restaurant, for all you Sugarfish heads out there, your whole party has to be there to be seated.
That's most restaurants, but I think.
At the sushi bar, if there's a seat open, boom, you go right on. And you're good. So I'm sitting at the sushi bar eating. And there's about two other people. There's eight seats at the bar. There's two other people sitting at the bar. And then one guy walks in and sits down. And one of the waiters comes up to him and says, excuse me, sir, the sushi bar, you can't sit and wait for your table there. We have to leave those seats open.
Oh, he was waiting for his group to get there so then he could be seated?
He was using it as the waiting room.
Gotcha. Right.
Like a bar.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Bar, but it's a food
which you
bar.
Can
it's
do, food. Yes, but
well,
not here.
Yeah, no,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
So the waiter tells him that, and the guy goes, what? He's like, yeah, that's we can't have you be sitting there. Immediately he was so
defensive. I'm sure. Yeah.
What do you mean? What do you mean I can't sit here? And he was getting he went from 0 to 60 in 5 seconds. What do you mean I can't sit here?
Mm-hmm. Entitled is what I was.
Yeah.
Say.
Yes. I'm sorry, sir. That's just the restaurant's policy. We keep it open. But there's no one here. Right? There's no one here.
I mean, I just want to step in and say technically. He's right in that the chairs are open, and if somebody comes in, there's a place to sit.
But that person would never know that the seat is available. So if they walk in and they want to go to the sushi bar, they assume he's eating.
Agreed.
Right. Also, can we all give a break to the people who work at restaurants?
Yes. Yeah,
and that's just the policy. Especially
November, December.
And he or she wasn't raising their voice at this point
Not at all.
He
was being really professional.
Right.
So he goes, what do you mean? There's nobody sitting here. That's ridiculous. And then he repeated himself again. Mm-hmm. Sorry, sir. That's our policy in case, you know, people come in and we need those seats open in case the bar fills up. I just don't understand this. This is absolutely ridiculous. And I'm sitting here trying to enjoy my salmon cut roll.
Right. Trying to enjoy your entire paycheck.
Right.
I mean,
worked 2 months for this salmon cut roll.
Seriously. So I'm sitting there, and that's when the question hit me. We have the stab.
Should I have said something?
Yes.
Okay, wait. Maren is a yes.
I am a yes on this. Mm. Particularly because it's a dude, you know what I'm saying?
Right. No.
Well, look, if the host was a girl, for sure.
For sure. Yeah. Oh, great, yeah.
For sure. But this guy's still being a jackass.
He's still going.
And you need to come in.
Yes, but you're forgetting one thing. Who's might be doing the talking?
Yeah.
Who might be saying something? Now, maybe Muggs isn't the guy that needs to stand up and regulate.
But what is the stand up and regulation?
Whatever.
I think you should.
What do you say?
You say, hey, this guy's just doing his job.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Back off. Like, just back off.
That's what I was
thinking. And I'm trying to enjoy my two months of
salary.
Money on this one salmon.
I just got a raise. That's the only reason I can even be here.
Yeah. I went from tuna to salmon. Yeah. I'm like, I'm upgrading.
Moving up.
How long did this go on?
This went up on for about 3 minutes.
That's a long time.
I think any of us.
I would have pulled my earrings out. I'd be like, call my dad. I'm going to need
bail. Yeah.
It's on.
It is a difficult position to be put in. Because you don't want to escalate it more either.
Ooh, right. I do.
You do. Oh, yeah. You want this guy just to be thrown out.
He's a
jackass.
I'm jugging him in his leg. I'm
going
to break the table.
it is difficult because you almost want it to pass. Also, growing up.
I think most people, for that exact reason, they just want it to pass. Most people just sort of sit back and wait and hope it ends quickly.
Well, born and raised in L.A., there is a bit of me that ignores a lot of what I see on the streets from kind of a person alone, not like fights and
you
stuff.
You sort of have.
You kind of have to ignore the yelling and the screaming of curse words, etc. Stuff where not, you know, not our people who might be mentally ill out on the streets. I can't stop for every single one.
Well, no, and that's
nor
also,
should you.
You don't want to dance with crazy, like you. Like, you know, there was a woman who came into CVS the other day who was like, and like sounded like an elephant and took her pants off. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm out. Right. Like, I'm hiding.
She's covered in cats.
I'm hiding in first aid. I'm in the back.
Call me next time. I love crazy.
Yeah.
And the thing was too is as he was carrying on about this. Number one, it's really annoying, and he's being really loud. And there's an open bench for anybody who wants to sit.
Oh, right, like a waiting bench?
Yeah, right. Oh. Waiting bench right behind him. And I'm the whole time I'm sitting here, I'm like, do I say something?
Because should I have said something?
Because I was like, you know, if I say something, what if he turns his entitlement and anger to me? Like, oh, yeah, mind your own effing business.
And then you go. You would take this outside.
That's exactly. But here's the thing.
No, because then I'll lose my seat.
Exactly, and my fish will get colder. Yeah. No, but what I mean, like, what is he going to is he going to escalate and up it in sugarfish?
I don't know.
I think he will.
I think this guy, from what I've heard, probably would have.
Yeah,
no?
I think he will.
Yeah, and that's why I didn't. So what happened was, is I didn't end up saying anything.
Okay.
Because it finally stopped. He finally gave up
and went to the bench.
Okay. But the whole time, I was just like, that really was very annoying to me as I'm sitting here trying to enjoy my meal.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Like, next time that happens, do I say something?
Yes.
I'm on the fence.
Oh, my God.
Listen, I'm on the fence.
I don't like escalating in public because I feel like it might just go away and then it's over.
Right.
And then I might be able to get a little wink going with the waiter, be like, man, that guy was a real D-bag.
And that's what I said to him. Exactly. I was like,
a little extra.
I said to the waiter, I'm like, man, you deal with a lot of a-holes here, huh? He's like, oh, that's just another day in Hollywood.
Right.
And I was just like, I feel bad for you, man. He's like, it's okay. I deal with it all the time. I just take a little extra time bringing out his food.
So my ruling on this is it depends on who might be doing the talking.
Mm-hmm. True.
If Marin is there, good. Say something.
Yeah,
right.
If Jensen's there, I feel like he probably waits it out a little, and so do I, because we don't want to. But if Muggs is there, should he say something? I mean, we have to consider who the...
Muggs, you're a big, strong, strapping, good-looking
that's
dude.
That's not the point.
Yeah.
That isn't the point.
Also, I mean, he's eating his food, and he really takes
you
that.
Do not separate a man from his food.
Yeah, he would be even angrier.
That's my that's my cone of silence.
Yeah, please.
So what have we decided? We decided you're a...
Jensen's in this case, I'm a no. He didn't say anything. He then...
And shouldn't have.
Correct. Then he collaborated with the waiter on a little bit of a response.
I do get that, because I had to do that with an elf. Like at the Grove, there was a woman giving an elf a really hard time.
I'm into that. I'm always fighting for the elf.
No, but a female elf, and she was just going at it and just being a complete.
All elves matter. I will jump in that immediately.
Okay, but like, so they kicked her out of line.
Yeah.
And because I was there with my former mother-in-law and my kids, and like, you know, we were kind of like, you know, like sort of supporting the elf.
Oh, we all do. Yeah.
She let us in line, brought us in.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
I tipped her, and she's like, I can't. I said, please. I'm so sorry you had to deal with that. Mm-hmm. So we gave the like sort of like winkety winkety of like, I got your back if things get out of hand here.
She's like, thank God I could finally get sugarfish.
Erin Dungey is here. She is filling in for Allie McKay.
Hi, guys.
Yay!
You're doing such a great job.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, thank you. Yes. I love being here. It's super fun.
Love having you here. What's happening?
Okay, so here's the news. The Star Wars Rise of Skywalker script got posted on eBay.
Whoa!
After an actor left it on the bed, under the bed. J.J. Abrams has some words about this.
The security is insane. I mean, the company, they were really nervous about anything getting out. They had only a handful of scripts, and they were printed on crazy, uncopyable paper. And then one of our actors, and I'm not going to say which one. I want to, but I won't, left it under their bed, and it was found by someone who was cleaning their place. And it was given to someone else, who then went to sell it on eBay.
I mean, it doesn't sound like he's super angry.
No. Having worked, JJ is my old boss from Alias.
Yes.
Yeah, that is. JJ is the sunniest, happiest guy. That is angry JJ.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. But thank God they were able to get it back and nobody was, you know,
damaged in
That's one of those things where you go, okay, I can understand why somebody would think they could get some money for it, but no one wants that.
Are you kidding? I mean, are you? I mean, I
wait,
don't
you're
want
saying,
it.
I mean, I don't. I no. would never
oh want
people
would fans. Die for,
and also just the movie press and stuff, like the people who do spoilers all the time, that's like a dream come true.
Yeah. Mm. It could have been Bad News Bears. So.
I just wouldn't want to know. That would totally ruin everything for me. I like the anticipation of waiting for it to see it.
100%. Yeah. But like, that would go for a lot of money. So they are very lucky that they were able to.
Technically selling stolen property, right? So it's going to be very easy to pull off.
Yeah, Disney got it back. Yeah. So everybody is okay. And then Daisy Ridley was recently on Jimmy Fallon, and she was talking about how a lot of the stormtroopers in the movies have been played by famous people.
Oh. A lot of people get dressed up as stormtroopers in the last one.
Yes.
And it was a lot of them, you can't say who was in it, but I know one confirmed was Daniel Craig.
Oh, yeah. Daniel Craig was in the first one.
It's wild. Yeah. And I heard like Prince Harry and Prince William were.
Yeah, they were in it. And then they were cut out.
Yeah.
Also, Tom Hardy. And Tom Hardy was amazing as a stormtrooper.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
How are you amazing as a stormtrooper, though? I mean, honestly.
It's just like you running around?
I mean, yeah.
How do you
like,
get just, cut out?
I know. Yeah. And like, and how would you know?
She's like, also, Dr. Bill Cosby was one. Harvey Weinstein. There was Casey Anthony.
Wow.
It was just like a lot of people who want to act, but like don't want to show their face.
Sure. Yeah.
That's awesome. I would want to be a stormtrooper in a second.
In a thousand.
Yeah, that'd be so cool. I have a friend who's one in Mandalorian.
Really?
Currently a secret, I think, still.
Oh,
soon,
wow.
Soon, I think you'll realize it. But the funny part is he doesn't take off his mask. In it.
Well, how do you find out?
Well, the credits, but you'll I think you'll recognize maybe not his voice, but you'll recognize who he's with. Voice.
Do they? Oh, I guess so. Those other stormtroopers are speaking because they do speak.
Yes. And they flew him out and used their body. Like he even said, he was like, "I was surprised when they flew me out because why do they need me there?" He's like, "I'll just add the voice later." But I guess the directors and everybody wanted to have their body language.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Could you said his. Partner was there too. That's a clue.
No, not it isn't.
His friend is.
It's
whatever.
A partner in the show, but not.
Oh,
in
okay.
Well, I guess we're never gonna know. But
No, you'll know. It'll come out.
Oh,
it's a Mandalorian. It has a story arc and everything. It's good.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I've been told. Okay. since you use your.
I listen. I'm just happy Kevin Spacey's getting work again. You know what I mean?
I know. It's good. Hey, how about this, you guys? Uber has lost its license in London, so somebody needs to tell Bean.
That's right.
He's going to have to take his car.
Bean's been wanting to use. He's even said he sold his car and he's going to be using Uber.
Did he say Uber or did he say the tube? Or is that too much?
There's good. The tube is good there.
The tube is great.
Yeah. It's really. There's good public transportation there.
Absolutely.
But to
get a taxi driver's license, you have to take like a very extensive test there because the streets are so windy and crazy. But there's been. There was a whole thing with safety because people who were placed on. A leave, they would sell their license to somebody else. They would send
pictures. Grandfathered almost.
Would sell pictures of people. You know, this is who you have to pick up, and it was just being passed on. And so there was unlicensed and uninsured drivers driving. So they have cut Uber for now.
Do we think that might happen here at any point? I mean, if that's really happening and they're transferring licenses to other people?
Well, no. I don't know what the level. Like, I mean, here you have Uber Black and Uber certain Ubers where you know that like. And any woman traveling at night, you should definitely do Uber Black, spend that money because you know that you're getting somebody safe to get you home because there has been trouble. And recently there was a story where an Uber was trying to, he flashed his lights at a truck driver here and it was going to kidnap this woman. And she saw it and she called 911 and 911's like, jump out of the car. And it was a whole thing.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
I always thought that flashing light thing was fake.
Me too.
I thought it was
I thought somebody's going to get jumped into a gang.
Yeah.
No?
I don't know. Maybe.
That's how you become a Crip, I think.
And that's
whatever.
How you learn how to jug it.
Yeah, that's how you learn how to jug someone.
But, you know, it's really, I mean, the whole, but yes, I think that could happen. But I don't know if they have the levels of Uber
of
there
control.
That they,
yeah,
yes.
That makes sense.
All I want to do is zoom, zoom, zoom.
Yeah, well, you're going to have to do it with the
zoom,
tube.
Zoom, zoom, zoom. So, yeah, Bean, listen up. Safety first, everybody. I'm going to do some celebrity birthdays, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Vartan, my old co-star in Alias, it's his birthday today. Happy birthday, Michael. We've got Jaleel White, who played Urkel on Family.
I don't have to take this. I'm going home.
All right.
Manolo Blahnik, who makes the best shoes. Bill Nye, the science guy. Charlotte Copley from District 9. And Allison Pill coming up in Picard.
Which you're also
with
in.
You.
Well, a little bit. Maybe a little bit. I'm Maren Dungey, filling in for Ally McKay, and that is what's happening.
Richard Blade.
Richard Blade.
How are you guys?
How are you doing?
Legend Richard Blade.
I'm a little sore. I got into a fight last night.
Uh-huh.
I got beaten up.
By what?
I went to the wrong house, and I walked in, and there was this old lady there, and she broke a table over my back. And oh my!
It does look like you got jugged.
Yeah, my eyes had this baby shampoo. Oh my goodness.
How great was she?
Oh, she was awesome, but $5,000 bail to be released. So there you go.
Glad you're out, man.
Yeah. Thanks.
Richard Blade, for those of you that are new listeners, is one of the reasons K-Rock became K-Rock.
Yes.
He was laying the bricks.
So we've talked about the Mount Rushmore.
The Mount Rushmore.
The Mount Rushmore of K-Rock. You are clearly maybe even the first inductee to it.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
I think so, too.
I would say so.
Well, I'm in a hallowed presence because we have to say the Kevin and Bean Show, probably the greatest morning show in the history of Southern California.
Hands down.
I mean, that might be an understatement.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
I'm a Jay Thomas guy. So.
Richard, I hate to go back in time because you have a new book to talk about.
Right, right.
But please humor me and tell us the story from World in My Eyes, which is the story of...
It's my autobiography. Yes. And a lot of K-Rock, of course, is in there, but it does go back before K-Rock. And I think you won the Barbara Streisand screen.
Please.
Is that the one?
Oh, please.
Because it's the most bonky. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, there's also the Michael Jackson story, which is pretty.
Is that not the same thing?
Well, no. Oh. But one leads to another.
Okay.
That was when I was Dick Shepherd before I adopted the name Richard Blade. You know, Richard's a real name, but I got Blade from Blade Runner.
Oh,
excellent.
Which now is a historical movie.
Yeah.
Because it was set in November of 2019.
So crazy.
And luckily the world looks just like it did in the movie. Exactly. It makes sense.
It's always
great. Totally makes sense.
Exactly. So I was doing these parties and mobile disco because no one would hire me in L.A. on the radio because they said you'll never work with a voice like that because of the English accent.
The accent and everything?
Oh, it was disgusting. I was thrown out of every radio station. And I couldn't find K-Rock at the time. That was the one I hadn't tried. But, you know, K-I-Q-Q, as they say, and Kiss FM and all those were throwing me out. They said, you'll never work.
Never.
And so I was doing mobiles and then doing really well. And I got approached by a party planner who said, we've got a bar mitzvah coming up. And I had no clue what a bar mitzvah was. I was from a small town in England, not a big Jewish population.
Right, right.
Bar mitzvahs weren't celebrated over there, but I figured it's a bar, and I'd worked at a lot of bars. So, what's a mitzvah? I'll find out. And so I met this woman outside of Gladstone's in Malibu, and we carpooled to her client's house. And we pulled up, and we went under this bridge at Paradise Cove and then up into this alcove. And the woman had bought three homes, so she couldn't be looked into. And she said, I'll introduce you. And she goes, this is Dick Shepherd. He's a DJ. This is Miss Streisand.
Oh,
and I was
God.
Like, oh, wow. And I shake her hand. And I'm like, this is pretty cool. You know, I was hoping it was someone like Anita Ward. You know, who'd done...
Right, ring my bell.
Ring my bell. And then I would have been impressed.
A real superstar.
You know, But...
One-hit wonder. Yeah. Ring a bell.
This must be bonkers for you not being... Because you weren't on K-Rock yet, or yes?
No, this is two years. So you weren't even in the business? No, I wasn't in the business, yeah.
Mind-blowing.
Yeah, and then afterwards, after the meeting, we went over what was going to happen, and she was going to put a circus tent over one of the paddocks there for the...
paddocks, for the horses.
Yeah, but they're cleaning out the horses.
I didn't know what paddocks was.
Exactly. And it was a three-ring circus tent, and around each of the poles, they were going to bring in different food. So one was French cuisine, one was Chinese food, and I forget what the third was. And she asked what my audio-video needs were, and I told her, and she was the nicest person ever. I was afterwards, so I researched her. You know, there was no internet.
Because you didn't know who Barbara Streisand was?
Well, I knew she'd had a couple of hits.
Oh, my God.
And I knew... I knew parents. I knew parents liked her because I was a kid. I was like 23, 24.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
And then I suddenly realized, and then I had a song come out in between the actual bar mitzvah for Jason Gold, her child with Elliot Gold. And she had a huge hit with Neil Diamond, You Don't Bring Me Flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And
gorgeous.
So, and then I went, oh my gosh, she's only the biggest female singer in American history at the time.
Yes,
you know.
Yes.
Right.
And she's a diva. I'm not meant to talk to her, la, 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 la. So we're doing the party. We're like an hour into the party. She comes up to me and she goes, you look so hungry. Have you eaten? And I said, no, I've been working. She goes, well, what would you like me to get you? And I said,
That doesn't sound like a diva.
What do you have? And she said, well, we've got French, we've got Chinese, we've got the third thing that you're going to forget over
Italian.
The years.
It's probably Italian.
Most likely. So I said Chinese. And so America's most famous singing waitress brings me this plate of Chinese. She could not have been nicer. But everyone was at this party because it is Barbara Streisand's party. So Donna Summer is there, and Neil Bogart is there, who runs Casablanca Records, and Larry Hagman is, I mean, just everyone is there. And suddenly, I find that I'm doing every single celebrity party in town. It was crazy. There was a catering company called Along Came Mary that did all these parties.
So once you impress at that level, you're the guy.
Yeah. And so I get to do this party for Zsa Zsa Gabor. And that was...
So these are two different stories.
Yeah, okay. Right, because of the Barbara Streisand.
Right.
And this is a huge turning point in my life, because at the party, my all-time hero, Sean Connery, comes up to me and he goes, are you from England? And I said, yes.
Can I hear that some more?
Are you from England?
Pretty good.
And I said, yes, but you're from Scotland. He goes, thank God, everyone over here thinks I'm English. He goes, what a bloody insult. And so he was the biggest sweetheart. And I said, you know, I used to go to school with a wet elbow because of you. And he goes,
I'm afraid of this story.
Why would that be? And I said, I had a 007 shoulder holster water pistol, which today I would have been arrested taking that to school, right? And he goes, those bloody things always did leak, didn't they? And he couldn't have been nicer. And I met him one other time, and I wish I'd seen him again since, because he's my hero. But Michael Jackson was at the party as well.
At this Zsa Zsa Gabor party.
And, did you know who he was at the time?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Because, I mean, I grew up with, I mean, in England, R&B music, it didn't matter if you're black, it didn't matter if you're white. Right. R&B was what it was all about. So I grew up with Marvin Gaye. I grew up with the Jackson 5, Tammy Terrell. I mean, that was my music. I mean, I loved it. And the party, Joshua Boy had a stilt house in the Hollywood Hills. Mm-hmm. So the party was upstairs, and I was downstairs waiting for the food to be served and everything. They finished dinner, they come down. But this little black boy comes down, sits with his back to a Sir Win Vegas speaker, and he's asking me if I could play music for him. And I'm like, what would you like to hear? And he goes, can I look through your records? And I said, absolutely. And he goes through and he pulls out Marvin Gaye, Got to Give It Up. And
the greatest.
He said, could you play that for me? And I played it. And he gets out there and he starts dancing.
By himself.
By himself. And I said, I just got sent as a promo copy your new album.
You figured it out with Michael Jackson.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I knew instantly.
It would be funny, though, if Richard's like, this kid can really dance.
Yeah, he's not
I finally
bad.
Hit the jackpot.
Yeah. Well, I actually won a couple of dance contests, so I was thinking I should show him a couple of moves. But
let me show you what it's like to jump over your own leg, kid.
Yeah, but after 2 seconds of watching Michael Jackson, it's just him and me.
Oh, my God.
And so I said, you know, I've got your new album. And he goes, you do?
Was this Off the Wall?
No, it's not Off the Wall. He's working on Off the Wall.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So I had the Jacksons album, which was when it was the Jacksons, and the S looked like a 5 because they just left Motown and gone to Columbia.
Right.
So he said, oh, play that.
So it's like Shake Your Body and
Shake Your Body, Down to the Ground,
and all
which
those.
Was incidentally written by Michael Jackson, but not by the Michael Jackson, someone else with the same name.
Really?
I know, it's really weird.
That's odd.
So he had all those moves down.
Right.
And then, he's dancing to them, I'm watching, I'm going, this guy is amazing. This is before the Grammy Awards where he went up and did the Billie Jean and all that, you know,
moonwalk.
3 years later.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he said, do you have a cassette player? And I said, yes, I do. And he said, I'll be back. And he went down to his car, got a cassette from his driver.
This is like a private one-on-one party.
And he put in the cassette, and I say in the book, I don't know if it was Don't Stop, Off the Wall, or Rot With You, because I was so blown away.
It's one of the three.
It was one of the three. And he had me play it, and then he would put his hand up, and he goes, stop. Can you rewind it a little bit? And I'm praying that the cassette isn't going to go entangle, you know.
I'm going to get
the pencil and have to rewind it. So I rewind it about 3 times, and he goes, it's just not right. And I said, it sounds great. And he goes, the horns aren't coming in loud enough. He said, do me a favor, when I point at you, turn it up loud. So I said, okay, we start again. He's there, and he points, and I turn it up, and he goes, that's it, that's it. I'm telling Quincy tomorrow the horns have to come in louder. And it was
so
the most...
you produced the album.
Yeah, congratulations.
I wish.
He arranged it.
Give him the Grammy. Give him the Grammy.
No, I wish.
But, no, he's not dead.
So I thought, you know, this was my experience with a kid who I'd grown up loving in England. I mean, the Jackson 5, ABC, One Bad Apple, the whole thing. Just loved it. I played it as a kid in the college discos. It was incredible. 3 days later, I get this phone call. Hi, I'm having a party at my house on Havenhurst. And so I started doing all the parties for Michael.
Whoa.
And he smokes.
It was the most amazing thing. And I saw kids over at his house, and I never once saw him do anything that made me go, that was weird. Mm-hmm. He just happened to love people. He happened to love kids because kids gravitated to him. He liked to dance. They liked to see him party.
He was very much a child.
I know.
His whole life.
I can't say one side or another. I have no evidence. I didn't see anything. But all I ever saw at the parties and all I ever saw is Mansion in Encino was when the children were around, he treated them 100% with respect. There was nothing that made me go, that's not quite right. And so, I mean, he was incredible. And then I did the platinum release party when they did the victory tour Jacksons.
This is not, by the way, the stories I thought I would hear from Richard Blight.
No.
Yeah,
like, I was waiting for, like, okay, then Duran Duran. And then DeMoe.
And then they became the Jackson 6, which is not
because
congratulations on the Grammy.
Yeah, but I...
Does Quincy know?
I absolutely love them. And he was... Just to be in the same room as him was amazing because, you know, you think... Oh yeah, I'm having a good time. I'm a good DJ. Then you watch Michael Jackson, you go, I should be just unloading trash as a living because he had so much talent and so much ability. And the thing he had was focus. He knew what he wanted with his music and his performance, and he never phoned it in. He was just unbelievable.
All right, Richard Blight is here, one of the people that built K-Rock, and he's written a fictional book now,
which is insane.
Which we haven't had time to talk about yet, so can you stick around for another break?
I would be honored.
All right, absolutely. We'll stick around for one more. We'll talk about that next. Richard Blight is in the studio with us.
Yay!
What an honor to be back at K-Rock.
Love having you here every time. You know that.
Oh, absolutely.
You're always welcome.
You know, I think, I'm not going to be modest here. I'm going to be honest. I think I'm the biggest promoter of K-Rock because I do so many live gigs. Like, for example, I was at the Palace. I know it's called the Avalon. Right. It'll always be the Palace. On Sunday for the Depeche Mode convention. Uh-huh. Sold out 1,400 people. And I got everyone to go, K-Rock.
Ah!
You know, I do it at all the gigs. And people say, you know what? What happened with K-Rock? And I go, they gave me the greatest going away party. It was the most fantastic thing. Kevin and Bean hosted it.
And everyone showed up. It was
wonderful. There's very few stations in the world, not just in America, but in the world, that are so loyal as K-Rock. If you show up on time and you do a good job, you can stay, you know.
If you show up on time.
Yeah, that's right.
But we're really testing that theory here.
So. It's amazing because it's not just the management that are loyal to the staff. It's the listeners loyal to the station.
Oh, very much
and
so.
Yeah, it's incredible. Southern California has been such a pocket of music. And I think it's an interaction. It's an interaction of K-Rock and the listeners, you know.
It's a worldwide state. I mean,
yes,
people,
it is. Oh, yeah.
You can go anywhere, and worldwide, it is a big deal.
People are jealous. People are jealous because they live in Duluth and not in Southern California because they might be able to hear K-Rock online, but they know they're not part of the K-Rock events and the K-Rock community because the listeners are not listeners. They're part of the community.
Right.
And I always say to people that back in the day, and even now, when you work for K-Rock, you would get off the air and you would put on the station. And that's very rare because most people that work for a radio station, the last thing they want to listen to is that radio station. But when I got off the air, I wanted to listen to Freddie and I wanted to listen to Jed and Dusty and find out what they were playing because K-Rock was such and remains such a unique animal.
Yeah, it's different now. I didn't even know Stryker and Klein worked here. Yeah, I don't even know who they are. I just heard their name the other day.
Are they part of the station?
I don't even know.
I love Stryker.
Oh, he's the best.
So I will say this, though, is that what you're saying about the listeners is spot on.
Yeah.
Like, hardcore listeners.
30 years right here.
Yeah.
30. I started listening in 89.
It's not possible. You're like 25.
Well,
so that's not possible. You look good.
The womb, she was.
But I will say this. Like, we have comedians that have huge social media followings, but they come here to sell tickets because the listeners are active.
I mean, you heard the Tarantino interview recently where he talks about one of the reasons he focuses so much on music in his movies is because of K-Rock.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to hear. Yeah.
A few years ago, I ran into Judd Apatow. And he said, yeah, oh my gosh, K-Rock. Listen to you on K-Rock all the time. And I was like, do you know you're Judd Apatow?
Yes. That's happened a lot of times where people come in and they say, I've been listening to your show forever. And I go, I can't get my head around that.
I know. It's weird.
It's really bizarre.
Weird,
All right, let's take a phone call because this will get us into our next project, our next discussion. Betty in Woodland Hills, thank you for holding on.
You're welcome. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
My daughter Marge wanted me to call, knowing Richard was going to be on, and ask about his new book, which is a novel, SPQR.
Hey.
This is so different, Richard, from anything you've ever done, at least from my knowledge. What made you decide to write a novel like this?
Well, you know, I started writing screenplays, and I've had a few made, which has been, really lucky. I wrote for a sci-fi show on the UPN before it became
CW.
That's amazing. It was called 7 Days. It was a time travel thing. You'd go back 7 days and fix what had happened. And I wrote the season 2 finale, which I called The Cure.
And the
hero had to break his way into Depeche Pharmaceuticals.
You write what you know,
so
man.
Hey,
you write what
so
you
much.
Know.
Quite veiled.
Yeah. And then I wrote a movie called Long Lost Son for Lifetime, which starred Gabriel Anwar and, I'm going to forget his name. He went on to Gossip Girl, and he's now in The Boys on Amazon.
Oh, I like that
really good-looking guy.
Like Chase too. Crawford?
Chase Crawford, there you go. That was his first movie, and he was fantastic in it. And so
and you wrote The Avengers, from what I heard.
Oh, yeah.
Manchester by the Sea.
That was good. Good Will Hunting, of course.
To Betty's question, like, why a historical novel?
It was one of my thoughts. It was like, I always try and go for high concept that people haven't done before.
That's the opposite of me, but go ahead.
Yeah, I don't want to recycle something.
Right.
And I've always loved American history, and I've always loved European history. And I thought, what if they came together, but prior Columbus, what would have happened if a small group of Romans, just a small group, not a legion, because a legion would have changed America's history forever. If 42 Romans had somehow made it across the North Atlantic and ended up in what is today North Carolina, and these 42 troops, which were, you know, the equivalent of Navy SEALs, and they had all the weaponry, they had a language because there was no written language, they had metal, there was no metal in North America, they had a horse, no horses in North America. Most people don't know that. Horses didn't exist in North America until 1515.
And you said you researched this with the Mohawk?
Gray Eagle Porter. He's an elder of the Mohawk tribe.
Right.
Okay. I wanted to make sure I wasn't being insulting because you can't call Native Americans in 55 BC Native Americans.
Doesn't
because there was no America.
Mm. So that makes sense.
So when the Romans first encounter them, they're barbarians, they're savages, they're natives. But as these 42 warriors get to know them, they become people. That's all. They don't become warriors.
And they didn't just conquer them? Like, wouldn't they just come in and just conquer?
No, because they're led by a general who'd been pulled back in, who didn't want to fight again. He was being forced to go and invade Britain because Caesar lost the first. It's all based on truth.
Right.
Caesar lost the first invasion of England. He's driven back in the sea. Pompey says, we've got to beat Caesar back. We're going to go now and get this general. He's fought barbarians. He can take Britain out. They send this fleet over. It's late summer. It runs into a hurricane. The entire fleet is wiped out. The legend of the Lost Legion, the 15th Legion is gone. But one ship survives. And it's blown halfway across the Atlantic.
Wow.
The main mast is gone. They can't sail back against the wind. They have to go with the wind, rig a temporary sail, and the wind's blowing west.
Wow.
And by the time they get there, there's only 42 left. And this one general has already wanted to put down his sword. He's been forced back into it. Otherwise, his farm is going to be burned. His people are going to be hung on crosses or made slaves. So he's forced into the Legion. He's befriended by this peaceful tribe. And for a year and a half, they interact with the what are now Native Americans.
Yeah.
Learn the language, become part of them. But unfortunately, his oath is forcing him to go back to Rome. Mm. And Pompey's son is there. He's, you know, the evil guy there saying, we've got to go back to Rome. We're going to put together a fleet. We're going to come back. We're going to enslave these people. We're going to conquer this land. We're going to color its future.
How long have I known you? I have no idea you were that interested in history.
Yeah.
I didn't. Kevin's like, I thought you were stupid, man.
Yeah. No, that's not what I'm saying at all.
But then,
it's so inventive. Like, yeah. So my brain does not work.
I love changing of history stories. Same. There's a lot now, obviously, with Man the High Tower and the one on Apple that says Russia got to the moon first. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, all of those things just really interest me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then, so the general is trapped. And of course, there's a love story. He falls in love with the chief's daughter. And he doesn't want to leave. He's found the peace that he found with his previous wife who died in the plague. And he never thought he would love again. And it's like, why do I have to leave these people and then cause their deaths by these legions coming back?
Wow.
It's a dilemma.
With the banner SPQR.
And that's why the name SPQR.
Yeah. So they build the boat. And they've got this great captain that he has picked who's going to try and get them across the Dark Sea, Mare Tarabosian, which is now the Atlantic. And on the eve of them leaving, a great evil falls on this tribe. And this tribe is a peaceful tribe. They're one with the Great Spirit. They don't fight. And this great evil comes. And these 42 men have this choice. Hmm. Do we go or do we stay and protect this tribe? And some leave because Pompey's son wants to go back, but 30 remain and say, we will fight for you. And Demetrius says, this is now our home. These are now our people.
Spoiler alert at some point.
And then Michael Jackson shows up and he plays a tape and it's pretty young thing. Yeah,
but, I can't not listen to Richard Blade. Like, I can listen to your voice tell me anything.
Richard Blade. The last thing I'll say is the chief's daughter says, we've encountered this plague before. And plague is a bad word for him because he's lost his wife.
Uh-oh.
He lost everything.
Right.
She says, you do not know what is coming. I love you. Get on that boat and go. And he says, I can't. I have to stay and fight for you.
Wow.
And the last third of the book, I promise you, and I know this is going to sound, you know, like, look at me, I'm so great. It is the most epic battle you have ever seen. And it builds every part of the battle is different, building and
it
building.
It sounds
and
like
building.
You loved writing this book.
I loved writing it. I saw it in 69. You know, I mean, you've done Alias, you've done so many shows.
Right.
I saw it, and the amazing thing was the different things that happened as I was writing. Characters did things that I didn't know they were going to do.
Wow.
And
that's cool.
Would you like to see this as a movie?
Oh, I'd love to. I wrote it initially as a screenplay.
Right.
In 2003 and met with some really, really, really big producers. And two of them packaged it and it came back at $160 million, which meant $320 because you double the budget for promotion. And they said, we can't risk an untried writer with that.
So
I had two books I wanted to write, two fictional ones, and I ran it by a lot of people, and they all said, oh my gosh, you have to write SPQR. And it's got so many twists in it, I promise.
It'll be a movie in no time because it's already, number one in pre-sales?
In pre-sale, yeah. It really is what they call high concept. I mean, Romans versus a great evil in America, you know. And it lays the basis for the most terrifying Native American legend that there is, a real one.
All right, Richard, I hate to do this because you're finally back home, but we're out of time.
Get out of here.
I'm so sorry for that.
No.
But we're always excited to have you here.
I will come in for anything. You know, I listened to the last broadcast with Kevin and Bean, and I just have to say I had tears in my eyes because really, you know, I did the morning show for a long time, and I say in the first book, you guys were better than we were. I mean,
I'll tell you, for 3 or 4 years, we got letters going, you're no Richard Blade.
Yeah.
For a long time.
No, it couldn't have gone to a better team, and you carry the flag so well, and K-Rock continues to be, you know, the number one terrestrial radio station on the planet. So there's only two radio stations that I think compete for that title.
Mm-hmm.
And one is 5,000 miles away. It's BBC Radio 1 and K-Rock. Those two stations, if you took every other radio off the air, we wouldn't miss it. Because there'd be a K-Rock and there'd be a BBC Radio
Richard
1.
Blade.
So thank you.
Richard Blade, one of the people that built K-Rock.
So SPQR. Hey.
SPQR is the name of the book.
It's on pre-sale till Monday, and it's only $2.99 on Kindle. On Monday, it goes up. I have bruises from not only the grandma, but from Jeff Bezos.
Oh, okay.
From beating
Excellent.
Him down to $2.99 if you order it on Kindle.
Nice work.
Richard, we love you.
Love you.
You're
Thank
welcome
you
anytime.
So
Thank
much.
You for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
We appreciate it. Time to check in with RJ Bell.
'Cause he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
RJ Bell.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, RJ. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Yes,
oh,
I can.
He's only in one channel. What do we do with that?
Hmm. I can talk doubly loud.
I don't think that'll help. Mugs, can you mono
can you
that out first?
Scream for us, RJ? Just scream.
Well, let me. I can sing a song, perhaps.
Please do. Okay. Just while we.
A little Sinatra?
Yes, please.
All right. You know what?
Too late. Sorry. Okay. We got it fixed. All right.
Okay. Thank God.
You weren't ready to do the Sinatra?
I was, but it would have been bad.
Okay.
I would have bet against it.
Best bet.
Mm-hmm. All right. RJ Bell every week comes on the show and he picks games for us. Last week you were 1-2.
Yep.
Creeping on 50%, RJ.
Well, let me tell you something.
Yes.
Here's the way to think about it. We're around Thanksgiving, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the rumor. Imagine if you went to a person's house every week, not just once a year,
mm-hmm.
every week, and for 5 years, you've had great meals.
Sure. Right, sure.
Now, if you have a couple bad meals in a row, do
right.
you think the person's changed? Or do you think maybe you've changed? No. Or maybe it's just luck, right? We've had a bad run.
Yeah.
Let's turn it around.
Let's do it. I'm with you.
Let's turn it around. All right. For the picks this week, you got the big dog Cincinnati Bengals +3.5 over the New York Jets.
Yeah. Andy Dalton. If you're an NFL fan, you've heard of Andy Dalton. He's the quarterback for the Bengals. He's had a good career. Not a great career. Good. What happened, though, a couple weeks ago, the Bengals said, you know, we're going to bench you, even though you're clearly the better quarterback, and bring this fourth-round draft choice in. Well, the fourth-round draft choice did not do very well. And additionally, the team really was demoralized because they knew that Andy Dalton was better. This week, Andy Dalton's back, and I think it not only helps with a better quarterback, it helps the motivation on the Bengals. On the other hand, the Jets, they've had a couple of good games.
They just killed.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It was one of the more impressive games of the year against the Raiders. Well, what do we know about life? You're never as good as when you're running high. You're never as bad as when you're running low. I think the Jets are a little overrated at this point. Andy Dalton and the Bengals will take +3.5 Bengals.
All right. Your best bet is New England Patriots -3 over the Houston Texans.
Now, it's easy to say Bill Belichick is a genius. And if there's any genius in football, it's Bill Belichick. But when does a genius get to really exploit, and we'll use that word, exploit the other team, is when the other coach isn't very good. So we often talk about how good Belichick is. We don't talk about what that means in a given game. Houston has a coach that is in the bottom half, if not bottom quarter, of the league. And historically, when Houston has played the Patriots have done exceptionally well. Belichick has the number of this Texans team, and we're only laying 3 here.
Yeah, low, very low.
And it's no doubt. And it's a game the Patriots not need to win, but it's an important one because Houston's had a pretty good year. For the playoffs, this matters. I think it's the coaching edge that's most important. We're taking the Patriots -3 over Houston.
All right, and your big game pick is between the Lions and the Bears.
This is a little Thanksgiving bonus. And here's what we know. When you've got a routine, it's easier to do strange things where it's like, oh, you know, you guys get up very early in the morning. If someone tried to do that completely new would be like, oh my gosh, it's 4:15 and I'm up. For you guys, it's second nature, right?
Unfortunately,
not always fun, but second
correct,
nature.
Correct, yes.
The Lions are playing an early game early on Thanksgiving. You know what the Lions do every year? They play an early game on Thanksgiving at home. And because of that, it's not going to affect them near as much as it will the Bears. It's not like the Bears never do this, but there's just a big advantage they're doing it all the time that the market's not accounting for. So we're going to take the Lions. And we're also looking to, in a way, bet against the Bears because this is a team that's underperformed and they're out of the playoff hunt. You just wonder what they're playing for. Motivation is a question with the Bears. Because of that and the Lions being familiar with Thanksgiving, tomorrow we'll take in the Lions +3.5.
All right, so the big dog is Cincinnati Bengals +3.5 over the New York Jets. The best bet is New England Patriots -3 over the Houston Texans. And your big game pick is Detroit Lions +3.5 over the Chicago Bears. You can get a hold of RJ on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. The website is pregame.com. The podcast is RJ Bell's Dream Preview. You can get that at iTunes. And the daily radio show is Straight Out of Vegas with RJ Bell. And that is on Fox Sports Radio from 3 to 4 every day. RJ, you're the best. Thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, guys. 'Cause he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
A lot.
I mean, I would say if you don't have to go out, don't go out. If you don't have to.
Or if you're traveling for Thanksgiving.
Well, yeah, that would
don't do that.
Be a major issue. No, you got to see your family.
Do that, right. That's what I mean.
Well,
do
I
that.
Got, yeah.
Okay. You're going to have to leave a lot of extra time in there.
Yeah.
Allie is out this week. Maren Dungy is here.
Hi, guys. What's happening?
That's what we're doing.
You know what's happening?
Mm.
You guys.
Okay.
Hey, you know, John Tesh.
Yes.
Returned his Radio Hall of Fame trophy.
Yes.
He was
did
not
you hear
happy.
This? He was not happy because his wife, Connie Sellecca, got cut off on her introduction. Mm-hmm. And he was inducted this year with Ruth Westheimer, Ryan Seacrest, Sean Hollywood Hamilton, Harry Harrison, and it says, and others.
How did Hollywood Hamilton get a name credit and you didn't?
I gotta be honest. I love that.
That you are another.
But Jim Rome is also another. That's not cool.
That's not
cool. Well, he's an associate because he's an associate of yours.
Because he knows you.
Anybody that knows the Night Rocker. Right, sure.
But I do understand why John Tesh would get his name on there.
Well, sure.
Because and then, he made this song.
Did you know he made this song?
I did not know. I did not know.
It's
for the
best
NBA.
Part about John Tesh.
Hey, agreed.
Just so you know.
I had no idea.
That's Hall of Famer if he keeps it or not. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. Right, I agree. But wow. So he gave it back.
Well, he wasn't happy.
Are they taking yours back for just any reason?
Well, yeah, they heard today's show.
I feel kind of insulted on that.
Oh, not your part.
It's not you.
Not your part. You're good.
All right, good.
You kept us on the air.
Hey, you guys, did you know that Mariah Carey broke, she gets 3 Guinness World Records with All I Want for Christmas Is You. Which is the best Christmas song.
It is the best song.
By far, best Christmas song ever.
That a holiday song.
Holiday song.
Yeah.
Although she specifically says Christmas. So
no, but I'm saying I'm putting it up against Monster Mash even.
Well,
I see what you're saying. Sure,
yes.
Of course.
It's of all time.
Yes.
I will also, Wham's Last Christmas.
Good song.
No one should ever remake that song. Ever. It's just Wham. Wham's version.
Someone has. But let me look.
They have, and they should not.
Yes.
They should not. Okay, so Mariah Carey, on the Monday, the Guinness World Record Organization honored Mariah Carey with not one, not two, but 3 holiday-themed world records thanks to the enduring legacy of All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Mm-hmm.
This superstar now holds the record for highest charting holiday song on the Hot 100, as well as the most streamed track on Spotify in 24 hours.
Yes.
With over 10.8 million streams last December, and most weeks in the UK Singles Top 10 chart for a Christmas song. All 3 records will be included in the Guinness World Records 2020 edition.
Until the 2021 comes out, and then she'll probably beat those 2.
Yeah, completely.
By herself. Plus, she always wrote this. A lot of people don't know that.
People don't know it.
I wasn't sure.
They should.
There are lyrics to it. We were playing the instrumental.
NBA. Yeah.
This is how we're playing ball with John Tesh. Do not disrespect his wife. He will probably send back that trophy. People who've covered Last Christmas, Jimmy Eat World.
Yes, they did.
I will accept.
Yes,
I will allow
they did.
It.
And that was good.
Taylor Swift.
No.
Don't need it. The Glee cast. Ariana Grande.
They covered
Ariana
everything.
Grande's is the worst. Have you heard it?
I have not heard
that.
Yeah. Well, I'm a bit, Bean as well. Both of us are very big Carly Rae Jepsen heads. She also covered it.
Yeah. I like her, but no. Mm. Wham's version is the version, the end.
Well, I don't know if you've heard Good Charlotte's version, so keep that in mind. They also did it.
You're going to have to do some research later.
I think Jensen's dead to me now. Camila Cabello. Mm-hmm. Cabello?
Allie says Cabello. She swears that's correct.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. In the honor of Allie, yep, Camila Cabello, she stole from Kensington Palace. I'm sorry, William. I'm sorry, Kate. She stole a pencil. I think we've got some more on that.
We were about to meet William and Kate, and I said, got to steal something. And I said, steal that pencil.
And I was like, you triple doggy dare me?
I did. I triple doggy dared you.
And you can't not do a triple doggy dare. If there's anything I've learned in my life, it's that. So I did it. And then you, to one of the palace people, called me out on it. And you were like, she stole a pencil. And I was like, oh, my God. And I put it in my mom's purse. And my mom was like, no, we have to give it back. Yeah. We have to give back the pencil. And I was like, no, he triple doggy dared me. I have to take the pencil. So yeah. I still have it. I'm sorry, William. And I'm sorry, Kate. I honestly couldn't sleep last night. I had to get it off my chest.
I mean, do you even have to dare someone to do that? Isn't that your instinct?
Kevin, maybe it's your instinct.
Isn't it your instinct?
No, it is not.
Okay, let's say you're at the White House, and not the current White House, but a White House that you respect.
Let's say you're there. The current White House had burned straight to the ground.
No, but I'm saying, like, to get something from that place that's
aren't you going to walk out with a photo of you and the people? Like, don't they? I mean, you're Camila Cabello.
Right.
You're going to do a photo. You walk away with that. Triple dog dare. Shut up. Like, if my kids say that to me, I was triple dog dared.
Hearing the clip, my main focus was, boy, I never want to be stuck on a plane with Camila Cabello.
No.
Like, that sounds like torture.
Oh, my God.
And then triple dog dare. You can't triple dog dare with triple dog dare.
I know. Just sing, honey.
Yeah, please.
Hush. Just sing.
That sucked.
Yeah. Let's hear some celebrity birthdays. We've got Michael Vartan, my old co-star. I keep saying old co-star, but because I don't think he's that old. But
no,
we were former.
Neither are you.
How about
you were both on Alias.
How about former? Former co-star from Alias.
Yes.
It's his birthday. Jaleel White, who played Urkel on Family Matters.
I don't have to take this. I'm going home.
Manolo Blahnik, one of the best shoe designers in the world. Bill Nye, the Science Guy. Charlotte Copley from District 9. And another co-star of mine, Allison Pill, who's coming up in Picard.
Picard? What's that about?
Picard? I'm not going to tell you anything because I don't know if I can say anything. But Jean-Luc Picard. CBS All Access in January.
Yep.
I'm Maren Dungey, filling in for Ally McKay, and that is what's happening.
And now, associate producer Christine reads the recipe for a perfect Thanksgiving turkey.
Place salt and brown sugar in a medium bowl and work together with your fingers until incorporated. Insert fingers under skin to loosen from the breast meat. Place turkey on a wire rack set inside a rimmed baking sheet. Sprinkle dry brine all over outside and inside of turkey, patting to adhere and nudging some into crevices. Remove turkey from wire rack. The turkey most likely will release some liquid into the pan. Place turkey breast side up on rack and tuck wings underneath. Using your fingers, loosen skin on breast. Work 4 tablespoons of butter under skin, spreading evenly over both breasts. Tie legs together with kitchen twine and pour 1 cup of water into the baking sheet. Roast the turkey, rotating the pan halfway through.
Go on.
The skin should be deep golden brown, shiny and crispy. Enjoy.
That was associate producer Christine reading the recipe for the perfect Thanksgiving turkey. I need a towel.
Mugs.
Whoa.
Wow, that went south quick.
Disgusting.
Mugs.
I don't know. That recipe sounded doctored. I don't know if that was exactly how it's worded.
It is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:06.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Thanksgiving food.
Yeah, we all have children.
Yes.
Here.
Yes.
Mine will only be eating oatmeal come Thanksgiving at 6 months. But you guys have went through the gamut of ages on Thanksgivings. And I found an article online that was called Let Your Kids Eat Nothing But Rolls on Thanksgiving.
Nothing But Rolls.
That's the headline. And it ran on a website called Lifehacker. I am telling you, I may have checked 25 times to make sure this wasn't fake or on like an Onion website.
Because it sounds made up.
It sounds disgusting.
It's through the AV Club, but it is a completely real parenting article.
Okay.
It's written by someone named Megan Walbert, and it's timed perfectly, obviously, for tomorrow's holiday if you're a parent or you'll be taking care of a child during the feast, okay? Now, I think as a child, I remember being told things like, aren't you going to eat your grandma's famous cranberry sauce? Come on, take some. Or you know, like you kind of get tossed onto Aunt Vivian's fruit salad, you know?
Yeah, you're sort of
the ambrosia salad.
Yes, yeah. The ambrosia salad. Like basically the things you don't want to have, these things are sort of forced onto you.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I do, but well.
But also, love most of it.
Yeah, so. I think it's a bit, but I will say this, having, my kids are now almost 9 and 11, mm-hmm. and there was a time in which they just ate the roll. Like that just,
see?
You know, and like, I guess, I feel like this article saying, just enjoy your meal. If they just eat rolls, they're not going to die for that.
This is
one
very
meal.
Much sort of in line with what she's saying.
Okay.
According to Walbert, she says the children are likely to pass on food to Thanksgiving because they find them confusing or visually unappealing.
Okay.
So, for example, sure. She says stuffing to a lot of 6-7-year-olds might look like barf. Green beans lack the appeal of, say, French fries to them. Also, Kevin, this could be about you. They'd rather just eat the marshmallows than the actual casserole you put them in.
I mean, I'm with that. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. Since the holiday is such a large accurate. Focus on the meal, right? Actual dietitians in the article believe that we force unrealistic expectations on children to sort of finish their plates.
Oh, well, by the way, that was always a huge thing. Eat everything on your plate. Don't right. you know there's starving kids in Africa? That's what my parents told yes. me 1,000 times. And then we all grew up and got fat. We were right. like, oh, wait, bad advice.
Right.
Turns
right,
out that
right,
wasn't
right.
a good idea.
Yeah.
She explains that only the bread and mashed potatoes will actually appease children deep down and just let them lead the way and make their own decisions.
I agree with this
Dude,
article.
So it's, just let them eat whatever interests them on that
it
is, day.
And on this day.
It's one meal, and it's true. Like that green bean casserole is disgusting to mm-hmm. like most kids. It looks yeah. crazy. And stuffing is weird.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of business, you know, and kids have a very, like, you know what they have? They have a lot of taste buds. They have a lot.
Do they have more
than? They have more than we, that's why coffee tastes bad to them because mm-hmm. it's bitter. It's so kids don't eat things that are poisonous. It was like, you know, it's just like biological. So
you're saying that if your kids were like, I just keep handing the rolls, you would be fine with it because it's a special day. And also, right. like, the article does focus on sort of the family aspect of it. Like, this is the last thing we should be focusing on Thanksgiving.
Don't nag. Enjoy. They're just saying, just enjoy.
Let them eat whatever they want to eat.
Clearly not raised in a Jewish household. Walbert condemns the holiday by saying, we put on the quote-unquote stretchy pants and chastise ourselves for not stopping at seconds, even as we continue for thirds. We're talking about how much we're overdoing it while egging on our kids to do the exact same and eat more.
Well, I mean, it makes us feel less guilty if everyone's doing it.
right.
Oh, yeah, I'm going for thirds, but everyone else, come on.
This is the kid in high school who smoked weed.
right,
come on,
exactly.
I'll give you a free one. other relatives may also force this food on your young. Make sure your kids understand ahead of time that they can politely decline anything they don't want with a simple no thank you.
I like it. I really do.
Interesting.
I do. It's sort of relaxing your expectations and just in trying to enjoy.
But I do remember as a kid not wanting to eat, like, I remember green beans look garbage.
Yeah.
I remember
they still look garbage.
Cranberry, I was like, this looks awful. Everything to me looked bad except the things that I was comfortable with already eating.
I ate all the sweet things. The cranberry sauce,
fruit
the ambrosia
salad.
I'd have a little bit of turkey just because I'd have a little bit, but mm-hmm. That was it. It was like I'd have ambrosia
salad.
How
are you with gravy?
I mean, I feel like...
I gravy it up.
As a kid, I would just... I feel
I gravy
like,
everything on the plate.
Well, that's the thing. If given the opportunity, I would just drink the gravy.
But exactly. You know what? There's a difference because some gravy is like a real... Like almost like a jus, like a, like
oh,
it's
yes.
a thinner. And my mom's gravy is not. And it is not my favorite.
My in-laws...
Can we call her?
My in-laws don't do stuffing. They right. do dressing.
Sure.
Which okay. is basically being like, can I have petroleum oil? Like, it's yeah. a completely different item.
Yes.
And I think that it's based on what you were raised eating.
How yes. do you walk that tightrope with in-laws, though?
I was straight up, man.
You were?
Because well, I was like, what is...
hardcore.
I straight
Why
up
am
said,
I eating oil?
Well, I said, what is this? I just straight up said, what is this?
Uh-huh.
Like, Alf. like I was like an like alien at this tradition I had never seen. And I said, what is this? And they said, oh, this is dressing. And I go, oh. And then I said, well, you don't... That my favorite thing's not here. And they said, oh, this is our stuffing. This is our dressing.
Oh, really? So yeah. they substituted for that?
Yes.
You can't
now,
have both?
Well, I've entered the family, we now do both.
I
got to look at the recipe on what the difference is between dressing and stuffing.
Well, this was a juicier type of thing.
You lost me at juicy.
Well, Thank you. I quickly looked up dressing versus stuffing. The one glaring technical difference I found between the two is how they're cooked. According to most dictionaries, stuffing is defined as a mixture used to stuff another food, traditionally poultry, before cooking, whereas dressing is cooked in a pan outside of the turkey cavity. That is what I feel. It's almost like its own panned dish.
Well, we do.
So the only difference is not being put inside the
because it's really not good to cook. Like the one that's cooked inside mm-hmm. is really not healthy for you because you can really.
Oh, how dare you!
No, it's not the health. It's the fact that it could be
poisoned.
Yeah. Well, no, it doesn't get cooked up.
Oh, like
well.
Salmonella.
Yeah.
I see. Really?
Yeah. So they. I mean, we've always done it outside. My mom's. Well, she still calls it stuffing, and mm-hmm. it's fantastic.
Oh, all right.
Well, the author goes on to say, memories can be made with a plate full of all the fixins or two fistfuls of bread. It doesn't matter what they actually eat.
What about sugarfish?
That's a great question. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:40. I would like to mention quickly, while we have time, mm-hmm. I know it's raining and it's going to be kind of a nightmare in traffic, but if you're coming to the Kings game tonight, Friends and Helpers is going to have some tents outside. We're going to be collecting food, mm-hmm. Non-perishable food, or gift certificates. And if you would like to do that, then you will also get a raffle ticket. You could win some Kings gear, or you could win some tickets for Acoustic Christmas.
That's awesome.
Which, by the way, is next weekend.
Oh, my God.
He has no pizza experience.
I mean, I'm more concerned with that. Trying to be out there and working in the rain, but you have no pizza.
I don't have pizza experience. I have eating pizza experience.
Yes, right. Yes, yeah. But not in the industry.
Not pizza.
Allie is off this week. Maren Dungey has been very fantastic filling in today.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Thanks, guys. Yeah. It's
really
a dream
fun.
Come true.
Really
dream
fun.
True. Thank you so much. Well, what's happening? Let's talk about what's happening. Deadpool director Tim Miller says that he exited the franchise due to friction with Ryan Reynolds.
Aren't there certain projects, and this is one of them for me, where you want them to all be a big happy family and
completely.
Be having a great
time? Especially when you're talking Deadpool.
Yes.
Money.
Yeah. And it was the number one highest R-rated opening ever, even still beating the Joker. Like, nothing else has beat it. But in the wake of his Terminator Dark Fate's lukewarm box office performance, he is stepping away. It became clear Ryan wanted to be in control of the franchise. And you can work that way as a director quite successfully, but I cannot. He says, if I can't win, I don't want to play. Which sounds...
Rejected!
Wow.
I'm fighting words.
That is. Yeah. That's not normal Hollywood press release.
No.
And that's probably softened from what reality is.
Right.
A bit.
So we'll be interested to see what happens and who takes over the franchise. I'm going to bring you some good news.
Yes.
Even though it's Friday. Or Wednesday? It feels like a Friday.
Do you want the echo?
Yeah. Good news.
Okay, hold on. You'll get it.
Can I get my...
Yeah.
Good news. Ooh, I love it.
All right. I mean, technically it's great news, but sure.
This is great news. Because,
okay, good.
All right, so it starts with hideous news, that mm-hmm. there was an auction of some items that Hitler had.
That's my great news!
But a Lebanese businessman bought everything for 600,000 euro to block any neo-Nazis from buying the said items.
That's 600,000?
Really?
Yeah.
That seems like the right move.
Yes. Wow.
Yes, I mean,
that's a lot of money.
Yeah. I'd hate to be the other guy bidding. I want it for real. I'm a Nazi.
He wanted to stop the anti-Semitism from spreading over Europe and the world. So I think that is... You know, he doesn't want the objects to fall into the wrong hands and to be used by people with dishonest intentions.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's some great news.
Do you guys know the TV show The Man in the High Castle?
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, What If Hitler Succeeded?
Yes.
Yeah.
So they deal with a whole lot of swastikas on that show. Like they have all their costumes have it or whatever. And I watched this viral video the other day about what they do with all of them.
And what do they do?
They have a very intense process of cutting them into a lot of pieces. Each one gets cut into, like, basically shredded into maybe 100 pieces on just a small patch. And then all of those get burned in sort of a, not a ceremony, but they definitely make a big deal out of it.
Question.
Wow. Yes.
Could you not just burn them without cutting them?
I guess they said there might be, I don't know, wrong hands, I think.
Or maybe that puts it, like, in the air, like some sort of weird, like, magic juju. I don't know.
Hitler's juice.
Some Hitler juice. I don't know.
Some Hitler aura. I don't know. Maybe they don't even want the smell out there. I don't know.
I guess not. So, yeah.
But I think it might be because I don't know if they're in charge of the burning. So I think they are making sure they don't get passed on by the delivery service.
I like it.
I mean, it does seem important.
I think they should stop hiring Nazis to deliver it, though. That is a ballsy move.
I'm going to end with some good news about ends.
Okay.
perineum sunning is the latest insanity wellness influencers swear by.
What is?
Okay, the perineum.
That is putting 30-second sunlights on your butthole. Mm. You will receive more energy from this electric node than you would for an entire day of being outside with your clothes on.
Okay.
Says an influencer who goes by the name of Ra of Earth.
Okay.
All right, let me just see
perineum,
if I understand.
Let's just get that out of the way. It is the neither nor, the taint.
Yes.
Yes.
Right, okay.
But 30 seconds?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is the same as 24 hours?
Apparently. They say that, and I'm quoting, butt-chugging vitamin D not only helps them sleep better, but helps regulate hormones.
Stop making my sons horny.
Thank you, Allie.
I mean, I'm willing to try it if the show needs somebody to try it.
I mean, we definitely need you to try
it out. Yeah.
I think actually the perineum is the correct
perineum. Part. Really?
Perineum. Yeah. Huh. The neither nor. But so, hey, if you're looking for some fun this holiday season,
right?
Get in there. Get out
but
there.
Chug some vitamin
Please
D.
Please call now.
Nope, you don't need to call.
Don't call. Okay. We're going to have some celebrity birthdays today. Michael Vartan, my former co-star from Alias. It's his birthday. Happy birthday, Michael. Jaleel White, who was Steve Urkel on Family Matters.
I don't have to take this. I'm going home.
Manolo Blahnik, Bill Nye, the science guy. Charlton Copley from District 9. And another co-star of mine, Allison Pill from Picard. Happy birthday, guys.
I'm sorry, you mentioned Picard. What is that?
Picard is a new show that's coming out, CBS All Access, in January.
Mm-hmm. And
I might
it's
be...
about Picard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jean-Luc Picard. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit of Dungy. Just all a little
right.
bit.
A little bit of Dungy on it?
Come on.
Can right. I pitch something real quick?
Sure. Yes, please.
This is for after Picard. And I'm available.
Post-Picard.
Post-Picard. I'm available. I'm a showrunner.
Right.
I've executive produced and I've been a head writer before. Crocodile Dundee. All right. That's it.
Which would also be the sequel to my superhero movie, Black Magic.
Yeah. Oh, very good also.
Thank you.
But Crocodile Dundee. You move to Australia.
I like
it's
it.
It's the flip, but you're playing yourself. And you're like, that's not a knife. This is a knife. You do all the same stuff.
No, but see, I can only do it with like a weird like.
You
like,
can do it.
No.
That's not annoying.
Actually, I think that you annoy everyone out there. So it's totally fine. You do their accent. You're
right.
Like, trip on a bobby. You like fall. You're like, where's Steve Irwin? You don't know he died. Like, all the stuff. It's just it's a great idea.
Crocodile Dundee coming to you 2020.
There you go.
2021. I'm Maren Dungy filling in for Ally McKay, and that is what is happening.
And you're awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for coming in and your drive home. Have an amazing Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Have a great holiday. We will be back on Monday, and all next week we have tickets for the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas. Mm-hmm. We're going to give you tickets on the floor for both nights, and we're going to give you Bud Light Platinum VIP passes as well. Mm-hmm. All of that for one winner every single day next week on the Kevin and Bean.